much for the short brief session we had this morning. We'll go accordingly and start immediately. We are not going to have long introductions. We are going to allow the honourable members, because I don't assume that that is not me, that the police know all of you. So you have been here before. Honourable Commissioner, I'll also give you a chance to introduce your team. So as protocol dictates, allow me to ask the members, honourable members, to introduce themselves. My name is Tina Jumat Peterson. I do not assume that you know me. I am the chairperson of the committee.
Thank you, chairperson. My name is Andrew Whitfield, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, chairperson. I'm Okita Blanche, and I'm also a member of the Portfolio Committee. These people are my colleagues. I know them very well, most of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Zandile Majozi. I'm also a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Jacqueline Mofuke. I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kevin Mapatse, a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Ntaoleng Patricia Peacock. I'm also a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Henry Andres Shembeni, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Tsego Mafanya, a member of the committee.
Voorzitter, ek is Pieter Groenewald en ek is lid van die komitee. Maybe it was just said to my honourable colleague, they were his colleagues, so not colleagues anymore.
honourable veteran member, we appreciate the veteran assisting us. So you must correct him, please. Understand the rank, he is no longer a member of them. He's a former member.
Thank you, Chair, but the veteran sounds a bit... make it an elderly statesman or something like that, a longer-serving member or something like that, but a veteran, but I understand, appreciate.
Thank you very much, the National Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. The delegation for subs is as follows. They will make an indication as per our protocol. The first one is the Lieutenant General Libya, National Head of Hawks. The second one, Lieutenant General SF Masemula, Deputy National Commissioner Policy. Following Lieutenant General FN Vuma, Deputy National Commissioner Asset and Legal Management. Lieutenant General S. Simfazi, Deputy National Commissioner Management Advisory Services. Lieutenant General P.P. Limpane, CFO. Lieutenant General Zulu, HRD. Lieutenant General Khan, Divisional Commissioner Legal Services. Lieutenant General L. Nzia, Divisional Commissioner Personnel Management. Lieutenant General N. P. Masia, Acting Divisional Commissioner Technology Management. Major General C. T. Sitole, Supply Chain Component Facility. Major General S. Mosipi, I haven't seen him. Okay, he's not here. Major General J. Nelson, Financial Division. Major General L. Ravi, Component Head, Strategic Management. Major General L. Singh, Executive Support in National Commissioner's Office. Brigadier C. B. Mitchell, Strategic Management. Brigadier V. Naidu, Spokesperson, National Commissioner. Brigadier J. Surajbal, DPCI Strategic Management. Kennel Mampane, Head Finance, DPCI. And Kennel K.P. Stain, Strategic Management. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable members, I would want us to have the briefing by the South African police, and could we first adopt, before we do have the briefing, could we first adopt the program of the committee? Do we have a copy of the program? On Thursday, the time is indicated as 9 a.m. We may have to start later because there are party caucuses. Honorable Member Groenewald, I've noted your
hand. No problem, Chair. I just want to put on the record, in advance apologize because I already had some other meetings before this program was, but I will apologize correctly also through the channels. So please accept my apology if I'm not here.
Thank you, agreed. Honorable Member Whitford.
Chairperson, if it helps, the Democratic Alliance caucus on Thursday has been cancelled. So if that was the only caucus, we are available and at your service.
Thank you very much. We'll certainly coordinate and liaise with all the parties and then we'll inform you accordingly. Any other comments?
Thank you, Chair. My apologies. I was not here earlier on this morning because I had another committee on communications and the time it was clashing. And also, in terms of the program, I'm not sure if maybe earlier in the morning had you adopted the program before or are we adopting it now?
Not adopting it now on all modules.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
A mover for adoption? Thank you. A seconder? Thank you.
Chair, I second.
Thank you, Honorable Member Mofokeng. That allows the Commissioner to lead your team in your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Our presentation shall be led by one central presenter and then Major General Leon Rabi. And then there's a part when he will hand over to the CFO, and when we come to the APP, she will hand back to him. Then all the heads of the environment, then they will be taking the questions, but I will be taking the strategic questions. Thank you, Chair. With your permission, you can continue. Thank you.
Honourable Chair and members of the committee, good morning. The presentation... Oh, sorry, ma'am. Yeah, I'm used to starting in the morning. The presentation by the South African Police Service will cover the following topics. First of all, for the purpose of briefing the committee and most of the new members here on the medium-term strategic framework that has been applied by the South African Police Service, the status of our strategic plan for 2014-19. Then we also would look at the SAF strategic direction as it's been derived from the State of the Nation addressed by the President in June 2019. The directions we got from the Minister of Police during June 2019, as well as briefing the committee on the SAP strategic direction as it is included in the annual performance plan. We will then brief the committee on the organizational profile to just give you an overview of the different business units at National Head Office and who is responsible for that. And that focus will specifically be on the organizational structure. It's then that, ma'am, that I will hand over to the CFO that will deal with the 2019 estimates of national expenditure. And then I will take over again, going to look at the background to the SAP's annual performance plan for 2019-2020, the categorization of our performance indicators, and then we will start with the individual financial programs from program 1 to 5. Honourable Chair, as far as the... I just need to be very careful because I have to run two presentations or two devices now. As far as the SAP's strategic direction or strategic planning process is concerned, we had a strategic plan that we tabled for the period 2014 to 2019. And the strategic plan actually terminated on the 31st of March 2019. And during that MTSF period, we had annual performance plans stretching from 2014-15 up to 2018-19. And as per the directives, we then submitted the first draft strategic plan for 2019 to 2024 to DPME on the 31st of August 2018. We were then directed or advised by DPME that the SAPs not submit a strategic plan for... We were then advised not to submit a strategic plan for 2019-2024, but extend the current strategic plan for the MTSF period to include the current financial year 2019-2020, and the aim of that is to include then the strategic direction by government in our new strategic planning cycle. So what it basically includes or what it entails now is, as far as our MTSF is concerned, we've added another financial year to the previous MTSF, and all the updates to the situation analysis is covered in Part A of the APP that we submitted on Monday. The planning information and links to other plans has been included in Parts B and C of the APP, and in Part D we communicated the changes to the strategic plan. And that will then include all the main elements of the strategic direction of SAPS in the current APP that we submitted on Monday. As far as the State of the Nation address is concerned, Honourable Chair, we've identified a number of key issues that that the President highlighted in the State of the Nation address that needs to be addressed by all the government departments. And the President indicated that as we enter the new administration, we will focus on 7 priorities. Now, the 7 priorities included and identified is economic transformation and job creation, education, skills and health, consolidating the social wage through reliable and quality basic services, spatial integration, human settlement and local government, social cohesion and safe communities, a capable and developmental state, and a better Africa and world. Now, at first glance, Honourable Chair, it seems if we look at the responsibilities and the mandate of the South African Police Service is that we link to the third last pillar, and that is the social cohesion and safe communities. It must, however, be noted that as the South African Police Service, we have a role to play as far as all 7 priorities are concerned, where either directly or indirectly we have an impact. For instance, if I may use an example on the second one, education, skills and health, where the South African Police Service are responsible with the Department of Education to run school safety programs. Now, although it's not a clear police responsibility in terms of the mandate, it is a responsibility that we have to attend to and that we have to include in our planning processes. Another example is the fourth bullet or the fourth pillar that talks to spatial integration, human settlements and local government, where the South African Police Service has initiated the Safer City strategy to specifically address the aspects that is included there. So if we look at the bottom of the page, that is in terms of the strategic direction of the South African Police Service, we are now committing to creating a safe and secure crime-free environment that is conducive for social and economic stability, supporting a better life for all. And all of that is then impacting impacting on all the 7 priorities that has been identified by the President in the SONA. Now, unpacking the detail of the SONA, we've identified a number of areas where the South African Police Service also need to implement certain activities to support the priorities that has been declared by the President. That includes your better educational outcomes, the prioritization of the implementation of the National Development Plan, Now, there, for instance, we have a high-level national development implementation plan that talks to all the priorities that is linked to the South African Police Service. Also committed to violent crime that must be halved over the decade, and creating opportunities for people with disabilities that needs to be addressed within our employment efforts. All people are safe and feel safe. That directly relates to the mandate of the South African Police Service. Safety of commuter transport, there we're looking at issues relating to our rail infrastructure. We're talking to the transport of cargo as well as taxi violence. Gangs and drugs, that's an issue that is in the news the last couple of months, that it's a high priority for the South African Police Service that needs to be attended to. Hence also the protection of vulnerable groups, the creation of safer cities, safety of tourists. In the show notes indicated that there's an expected increase in the number of tourists coming to the country now, although as far as that is concerned, it is within the mandate of the South African Police Service to ensure that we implement actions to address the safety of tourists. Lastly, on that specific slide, economic crimes and crime that impacts negatively on the South African economy. There's also further identified priorities includes the better training and professionalization of all role players within the criminal justice system, the improvement of the success rate of investigations that we generally refer to in our planning processes as our detection rate, the improvement of success rate in prosecution, we generally refer to that as conviction rate, increasing police visibility, effective community policing forums, implementation of specific strategies to end gender-based violence and femicide, the annual increase of intake of students to 7,000 as it been indicated, and also capacitating and equipping the police and court system to support survivors of gender-based violence. Number Chair, then based on that, after the SONA, the State of the Nation address by the President, we had an engagement as the SAPS management with the Minister, and in support of the priorities that has been declared in the SONA, the Minister for Police identified 9 key areas that the South African Police Service need to address in this financial year and the upcoming financial years. The detail is a little bit small, but we will deal with them individually, so I'm going to immediately move to the next slide. The first effort or the first focus area identified by the Minister is that the South African Police Service needs to maximize our efforts to reduce violent crime. Now, for the purpose of achieving that, he advised that we need to identify specific high crime areas as far as violent crime is concerned, and as the South African Police Service focus our operational efforts in reducing crime in those specific areas. The second area is the matter that relates to gangsterism, specifically the prevalence and spread of gangsterism, where you currently have it in specific provinces to prevent spread to other provinces in the country. As far as trio crimes is concerned, that is with specific emphasis on house robberies, those are the crimes that affect people, it creates fear, and it's our responsibility to ensure that we enhance our efforts to address that. Now, also linked to the priorities identified by the President, we have to increase our efforts to curb gender-based violence, as well as crimes against vulnerable groups and the necessary victim support. There's also direction that as the South African Police Service, we must, with immediate effect, expedite the firearm amnesty to reduce the availability of firearms, to allow the community at large to surrender firearms according to the prescripts of the amnesty. And as soon as that has been concluded, the Minister indicates that as the South African Police Service, we must then initiate a total onslaught on illegal firearms in the country. The second focus area is enhanced policing of the illicit economy with specific reference to illegal mining. The focus areas that the Minister identified is the violence that is currently associated with your illegal mining activities, generally referred to as the Zamazamas. As the South African Police Service, we have to prioritize the most affected provinces. At the moment, we're looking at provinces like Gauteng, the Northwest, and Mpumalanga. And then the third priority is the displacement of illicit mining activities, where where your illegal mining, your illicit mining activities has grown to such an extent that it's having an impact on your legal or licit mining activities. And then overall the negative impact that it's got on the South African economy. So the ultimate aim is to reduce this or to curb these type of activities and reduce the incidents so that it doesn't have a negative impact on our economy. The third focus area is the enhancement of policing of transport-related crime, and that is also impacted on the economy. The focus areas as far as this is concerned is the recent incidents of damage to and theft of trucks and cargo, where national roads are blocked and the trucks and the cargo is being damaged or it's been stolen. There are also incidents now recently of damage to road infrastructure that we need to attend to. And specifically, if we take into consideration the recent incidents in the Western Cape where we had damage to the rail infrastructure and trains, that has also been prioritized to be attended to. And lastly, the problem associated with taxi violence all over the country and implementing activities to address high levels of violence in the taxi industry. The fourth focus area, Honourable Chair, is the high levels of corruption. Basically, it's got an internal focus as well as an external focus. The direction is to specifically look at the relationship between the corruption as well as political violence in certain provinces, and then corruption at all, although referred to local government levels, the indication is that we must look at corruption at all government levels and the impact that it's got on the spending or the availability of public funds. And then lastly, the internal focus on SAPS employees that are involved in corruption. Fifth focus area is the development of SAPS infrastructure and improving our access to service points. The directive is that the South African Police Service need to implement measures to increase our footprint to improve access to all communities, specifically in your rural and remote areas. We also have to look at the location of access points relative to population distribution. We still have instances there where police infrastructure is not optimally located to provide access to communities. We also have to review our functional model that is associated with access points, you know, the type of services that we render and how do we capacitate the access points. A problem that has been identified specifically with the construction of police stations in specifically remote areas is that members that are being deployed to these police stations have problem finding suitable accommodation. And the directive is that we must start looking at providing our members with suitable accommodation specifically in these remote areas. And then lastly, to establish adequately capacitated specialized capabilities to address specific crime threats. That is with reference to our tactical response teams, our task force, public order policing, etc., that they are being capacitated with specific technology and the necessary human resources. Honourable Chair, as far as the effective management of available human, physical and financial resources is concerned, we've divided it into the four dimensions: human resource management, finance, technology, and supply chain management. Now, the priorities or the focus area identified by the Ministry is that, first of all, we must look at the prioritization of the reallocation of human resources according to the policing demands, specifically in the Western Cape, where the problem has been identified. Then also to review our recruitment practices to address current incidents of corruption and nepotism that it is associated with the annual intake. To also look at improving the conduct, ethics and professionalism of SAP members, specifically at our local service points. And then where we identified members that are involved in incidents of crimes, that the South African Police Service appropriately respond to those incidents. The next area talks to disciplinary action against members, and the guidance is that we need to look at the current time frames associated with our disciplinary processes to expedite the disciplinary actions. Then also improving our general levels of service delivery, specifically at access points, in all and rural urban and rural urban mix areas to ensure that all communities have access to quality service delivery. We also have to look at, I assume you are aware of the high number of senior managers within the SAPs on the level of Lieutenant General that is currently on suspension. The Minister guided that we need to urgently address that as well. And then there was a proposal as far as the improving the measures to address the well-being of our employees, that we must evaluate the current options that are available to our members to ensure that they have optimal support as far as the, more specifically as far as the medical care is concerned. And then the minister also very strongly indicated that as a South African Police Service, we must look at performance management and apply the required consequence management where we do not achieve our targets and agreed deliverables. As far as human resource development is concerned, the guidance is that we need to improve the quality of our training provided to our operational capabilities, with specific reference to our operational capabilities that I've already referred to. That includes your tactical response teams, task force, public order policing, etc. It was also already indicated, Honourable Chair, that we are planning to increase our annual intake of students to 7,000 so that we can address the specific needs in identified areas. And then the last one is that we have to review the value add of current overseas training. As a South African Police Service, we make use of a number of opportunities to have members trained overseas, but the minister guided that we must review the value add of the specific training and we must ensure that it addresses our training needs. Attending to or focusing on the finance matters, the guidance is that as a government department, we must prioritize our spending to address the current priority or the priorities of the current government. We must also look at the current spending priorities as a South African police is what we have and ensure that we align it with the priorities that has been identified within the SONA as well as what the minister provided. And then also we have to start looking at reducing our wasteful and fruitless expenditure that we will report on in due course as far as the annual report is concerned. And then as the South African Police Service, we have quite a high cost associated with litigation and civil claims. The minister directed that as a department, we need to take responsibility and look at reducing the litigation cost as well as the amount that we spend on civil claims. And then also lastly, to reduce our spending on overseas trips. As far as supply chain management is concerned, the focus is specifically on to capacitate and modernize our vehicle and air fleet. Now, annually we procure a number of vehicles and other resources to modernize our vehicle and air fleet, but the minister has specifically prioritized this area to ensure that we look at the current state of our vehicle fleet and specifically the air fleet to make sure that we have sufficient capability available to address policing demands. Reducing time spent on the maintenance of our vehicle fleets, it's been a problem for quite a while, where most of the time, Honourable Chair, I think as you go along and start visiting police stations, members will start complaining about the fact that the specifically vehicles are not available for duties. And that is also an area that we need to focus on to increase or expedite the time that we spend on the general maintenance of vehicles. We also have to review our procurement practices to minimize procurement delays, to ensure or enable our operational capabilities to procure the necessary resources within reasonable time frames. Second last is to implement measures to address the abuse of state resources. Reference was made that it is evident that even that the South African Police Service resources are currently used in the commission of crime, and we have to specifically make sure that all the resources that we have available are properly managed and controlled. And then to modernize the equipment and technology used by specialized capabilities that I've already referred to ensure that the technology and the tools that we use are in line with international standards. As far as the the legislative framework governing the activities of the South African Police Service is concerned, the Minister directed that we have to conduct a review of all current legislation that is impacting on the activities of the South African Police Service. And the aim of that exercise is to ensure that we promote the safety of our employees and specifically our SAPS members, and that the available legislation must enable the South African Police Service to adequately respond to the policing demand or specific crime threats. We have also been directed to review current international agreements to confirm their current relevance and viability, and where necessary, do the necessary amendments to these international agreements. The eighth one, Honourable Chair, talks to the improvement of our operating procedures to address crime threats and crime trends. You will note that in the annual performance plan that we tabled to Parliament, the South African Police Service has targeted a total of 30 high crime stations with the intention to enhance our efforts at these specific stations to ultimately reduce crime levels. We also have to look at conducting analysis of historical trends and best practices to develop appropriate policing response to the current threats. And then, as far as it is needed, develop strategies to address, amongst others, your high levels of murder that Honourable Chair, the members of the committee will note as we table, will soon table the annual crime statistics. Then the Minister also directed that we look at the development of system capability to provide daily operational information on prioritized areas to management at national, provincial and district level. And we also have to look at the optimal utilization of daily crime information at all operational levels with the aim to respond to reported crime. We also have to look at the increasing of community involvement. As if my memory serves me right, it's also a matter that has been identified by the President with the aim to increase the force multipliers that we have available and increase community involvement in the fight against crime. Address areas of poor environmental design. It is problematic in certain areas that we, as the South African Police Service, we will have to engage with local government to look at areas of poor environmental design that complicates policing. That includes, for instance, the lack of street names, the street numbers, street lights. Those are all aspects that has got a negative impact on the effective policing of specific areas. And then we also have to enhance the monitoring and evaluation to report on the priorities that has been identified by both the President and the Minister. The last area talks to the improvement of technology that is used by the South African Police Service to fight crime, and the directive is that we as a department must start to look at the available technology and that we make sure that as a crime-fighting capability that we have the most recent technology available, not only to prevent and combat, but also to investigate crime. And that also includes the technical capability that has been associated with our specialized capabilities. As far as the SAPS strategic direction is concerned, in response to what has been identified by the President and the Minister, the South African Police Service, on a strategic level, we are focusing on six key areas. And the first area talks to stamping the authority of the state, and that talks specifically to the fight against crime, implementing activities to address specific crime or high crime levels in specific areas, your crime combating operations, our multidisciplinary and interdepartmental cooperation, internal stability, as well as optimizing our current measures to ensure the safety of our members. The second area talks to the thorough and responsive investigation of reported crime. Now, that also linked to the detection of crime that was also quoted by the President. The detection of organized crime and the successful investigation of reported organized crime, as well as optimal forensic support that we can use during the detection of crime. As far as the third area is concerned, that is specifically on the DPCI, Priority Crime Investigation. The focus areas that has been identified and included in the APP talks to the implementation of the the organizational requirements as it is reflected in the organizational structures, the reviewing of the DPCI operating model, the capacitating of our specialized units, the implementation of a cybercrime strategy to address the incidents of cybercrime, implementation of Section 17G of the SAPS Amendment Act, as well as the development of DPCI information systems. The fourth area relates to crime intelligence in support of policing. There we are specifically focusing on the optimal utilization of crime intelligence, modus operandi and root cause analysis, as well as vetting of members and suppliers that are doing business with the South African Police Service. Moving to a collaborative consultative approach to policing, it includes our enhancement of inter-cluster cooperation, the normalization of high crime areas, hotspots and hotspot areas, enhancement of the criminal justice system, strengthening community-centered approach to policing, enhancing public perceptions of police levels of professionalism through effective service delivery, strengthening our strategic partnerships with stakeholders in the industry, and last, enhancing international policing cooperation. The last area, Madam talks to the building of a professional and capable SAPS. The focus areas there includes transformation of the South African Police Service, good governance and compliance with our regulatory framework, human capital investment, the optimal distribution and utilization of resources, employee health and wellness, the utilization of appropriate technology in the fight against crime, the management of our capital infrastructure, the impact assessment of the implementation of the MTSF priorities, as well as our spending in terms of the MTF. Integrity and ethics management needs to be properly institutionalized, and lastly, to enhance corporate governance. Honourable Chair, as far as the organizational structure is concerned, I will just briefly take you through the relevant business units at national level, and it's more or less replicated at provincial level. The National Commissioner, now, Honourable Chair, I forgot to mention, this is the structure that we are currently in the process of implementing. It starts with, on top we have the National Commissioner. The National Commissioner is accountable to the Minister of Police. And to the left we have the National Head Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, as well as the Deputy National Head Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, also directly accountable to the Minister of Police with a dotted line to the National Commissioner. As far as the Deputy National Commissioners are concerned, the structure that has been approved envisages four Deputy National Commissioners. On the left, we have, first of all, a Deputy National Commissioner responsible for policing, and under that we have three divisional commissioners, for the one for visible policing, the second one operational response services, and the third one protection and security services. The second Deputy National Commissioner is for crime detection, and that responsibility includes three divisional commissioners, the first one for detective service, then forensic services and crime intelligence. The fourth Deputy National Commissioner is for corporate services. That will include the division's human resource management, human resource development, and the head auxiliary services. The Deputy National Commissioners and the divisional commissioners are all at the level of Lieutenant General, and the heads are at the level of Major General. The last Deputy National Commissioner is for management advisory services, responsible for the division technology management services, and then the head strategic management, head organizational development, research, and corporate communication and liaison. Honourable Chair, then we have a couple of entities that are directly accountable to the National Commissioner. The first one is the nine provincial commissioners. They are all directly accountable to the National Commissioner. We have the Chief Financial Officer, the Division Legal and Policy Services, the Division Inspectorate, the Head Crime Registrar, the Chief Audit Executive, the Head Executive Support, and the Chief Risk Officer, and lastly, the Head Presidential Protection Services. Honourable Chair, that is just a brief rundown of the organizational structure of the SAPS that we are currently in the process of implementing. And Chair, with your permission, I will then hand over to the CFO to take us through the national expenditure.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I am going to take the committee through the medium-term expenditure framework, which will include the 2019-20 ENE, the expenditure trends and spending focus, summary of budget spending, budget figures, programs, economic classification, as well as compensation costs, as well as program expenditure estimates. The next slide, Honourable Chair, talks to the 2019 estimates of national expenditure. There were directives that were received from National Treasury, which indicated appropriation of our expenditure per program as well as per economic classification, as well as the strategic plan and APP, which are compiled according to a framework referring to, amongst others, resource aspects and an overview of the 2019 budget and estimates. The ENE contains, inter alia, a strategic overview, expenditure estimates, as well as expenditure trends. Honourable Chair, on the next slide, we just want to indicate that the budget is compiled for 3 years, which is revised annually. We currently on the 2019 MTEF. There were changes to baselines that were influenced, amongst others, by prioritization between departments, as no additional funding available as a result of fiscal constraints. There were also budget decreases. Chair, our MTEF allocation letter indicated, as you will see, for the 2018 MTEF, we needed to reprioritize. There was a reprioritization from goods and services to transfer and subsidies over the MTEF. There were also baseline reductions that were introduced. We had goods and services in terms of migration of the Integrated Justice System Modernization Program's budget, which was reprioritized and sent to Justice and Correctional Development over the MTEF. There was also budget reductions under goods and services in relation to the Criminal Justice System 7-point plan over the MTEF, as well as general items under goods and services that we had to experience the reduction. As a result, the 2019 MTEF allocation ended up at 97 billion for 2019-20, 104 billion for 2020-21, as well as 111 for 2021-22. The next slide, we just want to indicate a spending trends taking from the period of 2015-2016 to 2021, just to display the annual average growth for the budget of the police. It's between 6.1 as well as 6.6%. From 2015-16, the budget was 76 billion. It will grow averagely with 6% up to 111 million. The next slide, Chair, talks to our financial programs. We wanted to display the year-on-year increases for administration, which is our program one. There was a slight increase of 5.4% from 2018-19 to 2019-20. For visible policing, an increase of 6.5% from 2018 to 2019. For program 3, an increase of 7.1% between 2018 and 2019. Crime intelligence, 7.6%, which is our program 4. Program 5, protection and security services, with an increase of 7% from 2018 to 2019. The total increase of the budget for 2019-20 was 6.4. There is an increase of 6.9 for 2021, as well as a 6.6 for 2021-22. The next slide, Chair, is just a graphic representation of our year-on-year increases per program, as you will see. The third year, which is 2021-22, there is a slight decrease as compared to 2021, as well as 1920. Chair, our budget for 2019, we wanted to indicate out of the total 97 billion, 78.2% goes to compensation of employees. We are left with 17.1% for goods and services. Transfer payments, 1.2% is allocated, and 3.5% goes to capital payments. The next slide indicates our allocation in terms of economic classification, year-on-year increases. Current payments with an increase of 6.8% for 2019-20. Current payments includes your compensation of employees, which grew from 70 billion to 76 billion, which represents 7.8% for 2019-20. Goods and services with an increase of 2.3% for 2019-20. And then transfers and subsidies with an increase of 5.8%. Payments for capital assets, there was a decrease of 2.5%. Building and other fixed structures, 5.5%. Machinery and equipment with a decrease of 5.1% for 19-20. The next slide, Chair, is spending trends with in relation to the vote in total. We just wanted to indicate from 2015-16, there was an increase of 5.8. When we arrive at 2019-20, there is an increase of 6.4, which will see an increase of 6.9 in the 2021, as well as a 6.6 in 2021-22. The next slide is spending trends in terms of our compensation allocation. It was 5.8 in 2015-16. Compared to 2019-20, we had an increase of 7.8, which will then go to 7.2 in 2021, as well as a decrease in 2021-22. Next slide, Chair. It's spending trends split into categories. It's a comparison of compensation vis-a-vis operational budget for 1920. If I may concentrate on 1920, out of the total allocation, compensation grew by 7.8, and operational expenditure by 1.7. Chair, the next slide breaks down compensation budget. We just wanted to indicate that included in the 76 billion, we've got our wage bill, which comprises of salaries, pensions, bonuses, cost of living, enlistments, scarce skills, etc. It calculates to 62 billion. We also have allowances. Under the allowances, you've got your service allowances, night shift allowance, public holidays, Sunday work, etc. That is 2 billion. We also have overtime to an amount of 748 million, rental and housing with 2.8 billion, as well as medical schemes contributions, which calculates to 8.5 billion. The total of our compensation budget is 76.3 billion, Chair. The next slide is just general remarks that we wanted to put before the committee. Personnel is the primary cost driver in the vote of police and also drives direct operational expenditure. Compensation is 78% of the vote. It is therefore annually determined from zero, taking into account existing personnel and new personnel where after they are apportioned between programs. We've got our operational expenditures, which are predominantly goods and services, machinery and equipment, in order to perform our duties. Therefore, we're indicating that essentially our budget is divided into three: compensation budget, operational budget, including capital budget. There are current realities, Honorable Chair, that we wanted to display to the committee. The total headcount of the police will be decreased with 1,000 in terms of natural attritions. The organizational demand is higher than the fixed establishment. We've got limited funding to address all organizational needs. Migration of resources to police stations, this is part of the priorities. It requires additional capacity. We had the PSCB Resolution 1 of 2018, which required additional funding. National Treasury also confirmed the budget shortfalls for 18-19 and over the MTEF. We are taking into account and noting that there is no new money in government, but these are the current realities. In the next slide, we are indicating, Chairperson, our spending focus for 2019-20 up to 21-22. Our spending focus particularly on goods and services and capital investment over the medium term includes professionalizing of the police service through skills development. We will continue strengthening of the criminal justice system by contributing to the criminal justice sector revamp and modernization programs. We will then continue to invest in capital assets consisting of machinery and equipment, essentially our transport assets. Other critical items such as the procurement of bulletproof vests, firearms, clothing, mobile police services to assist us to do our job, capacitation of existing POP units, and interventions through development deployments in the country. We also had to police the elections for 2019, policing of major events which included inauguration for this year. We also want to sustain the DPCI baseline allocation, as well as sustain actual personnel numbers within the compensation budget ceiling. There were reductions, Chair, that have already been introduced. Here we just wanted to focus on the 1920. The subs budget remains under pressure. After various budget reductions were introduced in recent financial years, as well as the carry-through effect on outer year baselines. For 2019-20, compensation of employees was reduced by 1.4 billion. Goods and services was reduced by 1.2. Capital assets by 199. And then we had the integrated justice system program that was also where we experienced the reduction, as well as the CJS or criminal justice system revamp program, which was reduced by 386 in the 1920 financial year. In the next slide, Chair, there were additional priorities that we advanced to National Treasury in terms of the business case that we have submitted requesting additional personnel. It is a reality that for us to be able to deal with the challenges of policing, we need additional personnel. We are short of about 60,000. The business case was submitted. And then also additional requests for DPCI for the capacitation of cybercrime units, further capacitation of POP units, as well as unforeseen compensation expenditures emanating from latest wage agreements, especially expanding of housing allowance to nearly all employees. We also had to then deal with the effects of an increase of VAT from 14% to 15%, and then as well as exchange rate fluctuations. We are indicating that the current level of crime and public unrest are resulting in additional deployments, which puts pressure on the allocation of the police. The next slide, Chair, is just amounts that are indicated in terms of additional funding that we have requested over the MTEF. I have indicated the business case for additional personnel, 586 million. Additional request for DPCI for capacitation of cybercrime, we have submitted. A need for 63 million, further capacitation of our POP units, as well as unforeseen compensation expenditures emanating from the 2018 wage agreement, and including the increase of VAT from 14% to 15%. So that is additional funding that was submitted in this regard. There are currently interventions, Chair, that are seeking to align to the SONA priorities that we are currently funding in the 2019-20 financial year. There are interventions, stabilization interventions, interventions in relation to your cash in transits, interventions in relation to the gang units, particularly in your Western Cape and Eastern Cape, as well as Gauteng. For the 2019-20, there is resource allocation to deal with such. There is also a continued effort as well as priority in regard to gender-based violence with a specific focus on family violence and child protection units. Also included in the vote of the police is capacity in forensic services and training of investigators. There is an earmarked allocation on the vote, but this earmarked allocation is subject to approval by the Trustee as well as National Treasury. It is an amount of 1.5 billion. In terms of the SONA priorities, we are expected, we are going to be enlisting 7,000 intakes of police recruits for a period of 2 years. An exercise of reprioritization within our personnel plan is currently underway to ensure that we are able to meet this particular priority of the President. There are other priorities that are catered for within the normal baselines of the allocation, both in a proactive as well as reactive manner, which includes, amongst others, the listed priorities that aligns exactly to the SONA priorities, the safer city initiatives, youth crime prevention, the focus on drug master plans, cross-border crimes, school safety, illicit mining, as well as community policing. The last slide, second last slide, Chair, we are indicating that current funding levels for spending priorities must be retained in respect of those that contribute towards the SONA priorities. The ideal budget requirements have been determined that will allow subs to relate to the current policing needs. In this regard, we have requested the Minister as well as the National Commissioner to continue to advance this business case for additional personnel over a multi-year period to Treasury and Cabinet in order to allow for a normalization of the current crime rate in South Africa, as well as additional capacity for POP units to be able to deal decisively with unrest situations in the country. Furthermore, additional funding request for DPCI for capacitation of cybercrime units, unforeseen compensation expenditure emanating from latest wage agreements, especially expanding of housing allowance to nearly all employees, as well as to cater for the increase of 14% to 15% VAT. The departmental spending over the MTF will be in relation to the core programs within the visible policing, which takes more than 51% of the weight. The total vote in 2019-20, the detective services in terms of weight is also a significant portion of nearly 21% share. Compensation of employees will remain the largest driver of spending, constituting of 78% of the total budget for 2019-20, providing for remuneration costs and personnel numbers over the period. There is operational expenditure, including goods and services, transfers and payments for capital assets, total 22% of the total budget in 19-20. The growth rate of the vote from 2018-19 to 2019-20 is 6.4%. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much to the CFO. I'd also like to welcome the Secretary of Police, Mr. Alvin Rapia. Welcome. You may continue with your team.
Thank you. The presentation will now focus on the background of the 2019-2020 Annual Performance Plan. Now, first of all, just to give the committee a breakdown of the financial programs and what is included in the respective financial programs, as it was also referred to by the CFO. The first program is administration, and the purpose of the program is to regulate the overall management of the department that provides centralized support services and the business units that are included in Program 1 that will...
The screens here are not very clear. We have to unbundle this document if we have to go because you can't see some of the things there. So I'm not sure that technicians can't make it very clear a little bit.
Honourable Member, the committee secretary will assist. Could I also just highlight the following, that Honourable Molekwa has a hearing challenge. So in future, could you just tell them all that we have a member and that you should just take that into account and raise your voices. I'm sorry that I omitted that. And then the whip of the committee, could you take the needs of the whip into consideration as well? My apologies to the honourable member. You may any other concerns?
If not, you may continue.
Honourable Chair, thank you. As I indicated, the first program is titled Administration, and it includes the following business units. It's Human Resource Management, Human Resource Development, Supply Chain Management, Technology Management Services, Financial Management and Administration, Management Intervention, that is currently we are rationalizing it to become Inspectorate, Organizational Development, Internal Audit, and Strategic Management. Honourable Chair, that is a program that we will be presenting today and the relevant business units within the program. The second program is titled Visible Policing, and the purpose of the program is to discourage crimes by providing a proactive and responsive policing service that will reduce the levels of priority crime. And the business units that are included in program two is Visible Policing and Operational Response Services. The third program is Detective Service, and the aim is to contribute to the successful prosecution of offenders by investigating, gathering, and analyzing evidence. Included the business units included in Program 3 is Detective Service, the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, and the Division of Forensic Services. And we'll share those are the two programs that we will be presenting tomorrow. And on the last day, we will be presenting programs 4 and 5. Program 4 is crime intelligence, and they are responsible for the gathering of crime intelligence in support of the prevention, combating, and investigation of crime, to collate, evaluate, analyze, coordinate, and disseminate intelligence for the purpose of tactical, operational, and strategic utilization. They have to institute counterintelligence measures within the SAPs, and lastly, to prevent and fight crime through enhanced international cooperation and innovation on police and security matters. And the business unit included in Program 4 is Crime Intelligence. Program 5, responsible for protection and security services. The aim is to minimize security violations by protecting foreign and local prominent people and securing strategic interests. And the business units included in Program 5 is the Division Protection and Security Services, as well as the component Presidential Protection Services. Honourable Chair, as far as the categorization of the performance indicators is concerned within the annual performance plan of the South African Police Service, we have three types of performance indicators. The first category of performance indicators are referred to as strategic performance indicators, and they are specifically linked to the medium-term strategic framework. They provide a high-level strategic indication of the SAP's organizational performance. They are specifically outcome and impact-driven orientated. They also further provide an aggregation of the annual performance indicators. We are advised and trying to be as consistent as possible over the medium-term strategic framework with the strategic performance indicators, and they are included in our strategic plan, MTSF and the ENE. It's included in our quarterly performance report to oversight bodies. That includes the portfolio committee. It's considered as part of an overall organizational performance assessment but with possible rationalization with annual performance indicators. It is also included in Part B of the APP, and it's linked to the programs and the relevant sub-programs. As far as the second set is concerned, just to give you an illustration of the difference between the strategic performance indicators and annual performance indicators, if we look at the yellow block, you will note that a strategic performance indicator is a commitment to reduce the levels of serious crime. Now, that is annually disaggregated into the relevant categories. And for instance, in this case, we will have levels of contact crime, crimes against women and children, contact-related crime, property-related crime, and levels of other serious crime. Now, in this case, the sum of that will give you the totals that we include as far as the strategic performance indicators is concerned. That is just a practical example. So the annual performance indicator provides a more specific measurement of SAP's organizational priorities. In some instances, they may be year-specific, linked to prevailing organizational priorities. For example, the 30 high crime wage stations that is linked as that has now been included in the APP that we've tabled recently to address the high levels of crime. It may change over the MTSF period, as we, Honorable Chair, we will find that certain indicators, specifically annual performance indicators, will reach a certain level of maturity, and then we will migrate them into your statistical indicators. They are also included in quarterly performance report to our oversight bodies. They are considered as part of an overall organizational performance measurement, and they are included in detail in Part B of the annual performance plan. Honorable Chair, then, this is something that is unique that we've included in the new APP. We consulted with DPME and Treasury, and we wanted to develop a mechanism where we can include indicators that are of importance that people regularly inquire on. But, for instance, we might have read or achieved a certain level of maturity, but it's important that we continue to report on that so that people are aware of, you know, the levels of performance associated with those indicators. Also included in here are indicators that we do not necessarily have total control over, but we are required to report on them. So they provide information about the SAP's organizational performance. It ensures that we comply with the requirements of our oversight bodies, that includes the Portfolio Committee on Police. It is included in our annual performance report to the oversight bodies. We also include it in our quarterly reporting periods. It is for the purpose of audit and for the purpose of performance reporting is considered to be a statistical indicator reflecting information that is of importance to both SAPs and stakeholders.
Sorry for the interruption. Honorable member, with the technician is on his way. Just to correct the presentation, the font. It will be sorted out shortly. Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, ma'am. As far as I already explained to the committee, in this regard, we do not specifically set targets, but we monitor the aim is to maintain specific levels of performance, and when it's identified that there's a deterioration or we regress in terms of performance, specific targets will be included. It's also included in Part A of the annual performance plan as part of the strategic overview. And it also allows for the development of performance indicators prior to inclusion in Part B of the annual performance plan. And I would suggest on the last point, on a regular basis, the indicators or the need is identified to include or to report on certain performance indicators. But sometimes, as for the organization, it is necessary to test the viability of the indicator to determine, first of all, if we have the relevant information available and if we will be able to report on a regular basis. And the reason for that is the moment that it's included as a performance indicator, it is subject to audit by the Auditor General. So we have to ensure that the performance indicators are properly defined and that they are then supported by the required performance information on a quarterly and on an annual basis. And the Honourable Chair, we will soon move into the respective financial programs. Just to give you an indication what we've included for the purpose of the presentation, on the slides, you will first of all note that there will be a grey, maybe you have black and white copies, there will be a circle to the right that indicates whether this specific indicator is only applicable at national level or it relates to national competencies. Then if it's indicated as NP, it indicates to you that it's limited to national and provincial competencies. And if we indicate all, it indicates to the committee that these this specific indicator is applicable to all organizational levels. As far as the color coding is concerned, the yellow or gold denotes our statistical performance information. The blue will denote our strategic performance indicators and the gray annual performance indicators. Honorable Chair, we'll then move into program one with the purpose as I've indicated. With your permission, ma'am, I would just like the CFO to just take us through the expenditure estimates associated with this specific program.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Program 1, Administration, is divided. Okay, thank you, Sandra. Is divided into 4 sub-programs with a total allocation of 20 billion as compared to 19 billion of previous financial year. We have Ministry, who has been allocated 65 million for the 1920 financial year. Management, 86 million. Corporate services, 20 billion. Civilian Secretariat with 147 million. The purpose of this particular program is to develop departmental policy and manage the department, including providing administrative support. Civil Secretariat for Police as a designated department is reflected as a transfer payment on the vote of police with an amount of 147 million in 2019-20. Corporate services consists of human resource development with an allocation of 2.4 billion. Technology management services with an allocation of 3.3 billion. And supply chain management with an allocation of 4 billion, of which 870 million is for capital works. We also have human resource management with an allocation of 1.5 billion. Financial services with an allocation of 1.1 billion and corporate support with an allocation of 1.3 billion. A total allocation of 20 billion for 1920 is allocated to program one, which is administration. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, moving into the performance indicators that are associated with program one, I will first touch on the indicators that relates to our strategic deliverable schedule and the high level action plan associated with the national development plan. As I indicated, Honourable Chair, the first set of indicators are statistical indicators. So they include information or data that we would like to monitor on a continuous basis to determine the extent of implementation as far as the priority is concerned. The first indicator on which it talks to the extent of implementation of the strategic deliverable schedule. As the South African Police Service, we have compiled a strategic deliverable schedule to determine the extent to which strategies must be implemented over the medium-term strategic framework. And the intention is to continuously monitor the extent of implementation and to ensure that we have evidence-based tracking of the completion of the deliverables associated with the strategic deliverable schedule and also supported by annual estimates of the extent of implementation associated with that. The second indicator, Honorable Chair, talks to the extent of implementation of the National Development High-Level Action Plan. Now, although at the time when we planned it, we were not aware of the emphasis that the President is going to put on the deliverables associated with the National Development Plan. So as the South African Police Service, we've already developed a high-level action plan, and the intention of this indicator is that over the year and the MTSF to monitor the progress that we make with the implementation of the deliverables and also ensuring at the same time that we have evidence available of the level of implementation as well as annual estimates of the extent of implementation. The third indicator, the statistical indicator, talks to the extent of implementation of legislative compliance framework. The intent hereof is to determine the total legislative compliance framework associated with the South African Police Service, and within that context to determine the relevant legislation, etc., that is applicable to SAPS, and what exactly as an organization or a department we are supposed to do in terms of legislative requirements, and at the same time determine what is the level of compliance with legislation and monitor that over the medium-term strategic framework period. The fourth indicator, Honourable Chair, was previously a performance indicator that reached a level of maturity that we moved it to a statistical indicator as we continuously met the targets as far as the internships that we undertake as the SAPS is concerned. Now, the target as far as that is specifically is concerned is that we will on an annual basis over the MTSF period increase the annual intake of interns with 10% over for the period 2019-2020. The next indicator is the percentage financial disclosure of specific categories of personnel submitted within the prescribed time frames, as there is a high level of priority placed on the submission of financial disclosures, as perhaps we decided for the purpose of reporting and monitoring progress that we indicate or that we include it as a statistical indicator to report internally as well as externally to oversight bodies on an annual and quarterly basis on the percentage of members within the SAPS that has submitted their financial disclosure. The categories that have been prioritized in SAPS includes our SMS members, members at middle management services, and then financial management, supply chain management by the 31st of July. There are different time frames associated with that, but those are the three broad categories of employees in SAPS that must submit, and we will monitor that on a continuous basis to ensure that there is compliance. The next indicator that talks to the percentage decrease in murders of SAPS Act members on duties. As the South African Police Service, there's a high priority placed on the safety of employees, and the commitment is that we want to reduce the number of SAPS Act members that are murdered on duty over the medium term. Initial target was set to reduce it by 4% as to 28 in the previous financial year. Now also, Honourable Chair, as far as the percentage of people with disabilities employed in relation to the total workforce is concerned, previously, and you will also note that when we table the performance of the South African Police Service, this is an indicator that we struggled to achieve in the past, and the main reason for that is that the inherent recruitment requirements of the SAPS is that we must, as far as police officials is concerned, that we must employ able-bodied people, and we were always assessed according to the total workforce. And we are currently in process of negotiating with the relevant departments to request that as far as this performance indicator is concerned, that the South African Police Service be assessed in terms of the category of employees where we can actually employ people with disabilities. The national target that is set as far as the different departments are concerned is that we are all required to maintain 2% people of disabilities within the employment. And if we take into consideration only the categories of employees where we can employ people with disabilities, we are currently exceeding the 2% threshold. But unfortunately, relative to the total workforce, it remains problematic. Also committed to as a statistical indicator, Honourable Chair, is the assessment of or the evaluation of our organisational structures. The National Commissioner introduced a process where from the current MTSF we will constantly evaluate organisational structures that are implemented to ensure that they address operational demands and not on a continuous basis have changes in organisational structures. The intention is that all our organizational structures will be evaluated over the MTF period ending 21-22. During the current financial year 1920, we are going to focus on the review or the evaluation of 21 organizational structures, 2 national structures, and 19 provincial structures, including 2 provincial offices, 5 districts, and 12 high crime weight stations. The second statistical indicator is the percentage of prioritized vacant funded posts that are filled within the prescribed time frames from the date of advertisement. Honourable Chair, this is also an indicator that achieved a level of maturity where we constantly met the targets over the MTSF period. And the target that we're going to continue with for the purpose of monitoring and reporting is that 90% of the prioritized vacant funded posts within the organization needs to be filled within 6 months from the date of advertisement. And then the last indicator indicator on page 71, the percentage of legitimate invoices that are being paid within 30 days. The reason for moving it to a statistical indicator is the same as the previous one. Over the MTSF, we've constantly achieved the target of paying our invoices within the 30 days, the target of 99%. We will continue with a target of 99% payment of invoices within 30 days over the MTSF period. And as I indicated, that's if there's a regression or a deviation from the targeted result, the necessary measures will be implemented. Maybe at that this point, Honourable Chair, while I'm thinking of it, is the fact that it's included as a statistical indicator doesn't make it less value relevant to other indicators. It is important for us to monitor and report on it, and if there's any deviation from targeted results, it will be addressed by the organisation. The ratio of personnel to vehicles, the target is set to maintain a ratio of 4.51 personnel to every vehicle. That has been achieved over the MTSF period. Although I need to mention, Honourable Chair, that the problem, although this talks to the ratio of personnel to vehicles, it doesn't necessarily talk to the availability of vehicles in terms of the times or the time that it's available for operational duties. So we are meeting the target as far as the ratio is concerned. Now, also as far as the percentage of firearms to be distributed in relation to the demand that has been received from end users on an annual basis, we calculate the demand as far as your bulletproofs and firearms are concerned, and then we target that specific demand at 100% over the specific reporting period. We will commit and we will continue to focus on 100% meeting that specific calculated demand on an annual basis and let it be distributed over the reporting period. The ICT, information systems and information communication technology governance that has been approved, this is also an indicator that reaches a certain level of maturity. We targeted 85% of the deliverables associated with governance in the information system and ICT environment to be achieved within a financial year. We will continue to include it as a statistical indicator reporting on that and target a 85% in the current financial year, 86% in the following year, and 87% in 21-22. The new indicator, Honourable Chair, that we have introduced that we would like to monitor and report on a quarterly and annual basis is the percentage of audit recommendations that are implemented. The South African Police Service is audited by our own internal audit as well as Auditor General South Africa. And the intention of this indicator is to ensure that as SAPS or as an organization, that we implement those indicators, the recommendations that are made by the 2 oversight bodies. And we are targeting, as far as the MTF period is concerned, 100% implementation of audit recommendations. Honourable Chair, so that concludes what we refer to as the statistical indicators, the ones that we as SAPS considered to be of value and that we would like to monitor for the purposes that I've presented, but also at the same time reporting to oversight bodies on the progress that we are making as far as that is concerned. The next category of the indicators...
My apologies. Honorable members, coffee is ready outside. You can either take a break or you could go outside and... as you individually wish, and then we could continue. You wish to continue? Agreed? So you may go out and I'll excuse you, and then we will continue. Thank you. My apologies for interrupting you.
Anoche, thank you. I assume that I cannot go out and get tea while I'm presenting.
That is an order.
Thank you, ma'am. As far as the strategic indicators are concerned, they originate from the medium-term strategic framework period. They've been in the strategic plan of the South African Police Service for the last 5 years, and now including the 6 year that we are currently in. Now, the target has been set over the period is to maintain 98% of the approved establishment of the South African Police Service. I think the National Commissioner will respond to this, that although this indicator talks to the maintenance of the establishment, it does not necessarily talk to the needs of the organization. The National Commissioner, I believe, will emphasize, and it's already been highlighted by the CFO, that there is a demand for increasing the establishment of the South African Police Service. So this specific indicator just talks to maintaining the workforce at 98% of what we have, the money that has been allocated to SAPS. The second indicator is with reference to the percentage of learners that has been assessed and declared competent upon completion of their training in terms of the TPP. For your purpose, ma'am, it's the TPP refers to the training provisioning plan. So that is the plan that the South African Police Service develops on an annual basis to determine the nature of courses that needs to be presented and the number of members that will be included in the training. As you can see, the target for the current financial year 2019-2020 is to target a total of 81,858 employees, and the intention is that 97% of the targeted result must be declared competent, or they should pass the training that they've been exposed to. The next indicator is the percentage of planned police facility projects. I believe General Treblanche will remember this from the days that he was part of the South African Police Service. That includes your infrastructure development program, and the targeted percentage and numbers that we're talking about for the current financial year 2019-2020, there's a total of 161. The infrastructure development projects currently running, and the target is that 80% of that be concluded by the end of the financial year, and then we maintain 80% over the MTF. As far as information and communication technology infrastructure deliverables that we need to achieve, Honourable Chair, within the ICT plan of the South African Police Service, there are a number of specific deliverables that are being identified. And on a strategic level, we are targeting 80% of those specific deliverables in a financial year to be achieved. These deliverables are being determined on an annual basis, so the figure varies from year to year. The same applies to the percentage of prioritized information system solution deliverables achieved. And in the previous financial year, in 2017-2018, we achieved 83% of the solutions that was targeted for that specific financial year. Our estimated performance is 85% for the previous financial year, and we are going to target 85% over the MTF. Honourable Chair, as far as the audit opinion on the predetermined objectives of the South African Police Service is concerned, our target is to obtain an unqualified opinion on our performance or the predetermined objectives annually. Now, we can only report on that once the audit process has been concluded. in the previous financial years, in 2017, 2018, it was quite problematic. Now, although the AGSA do not express an opinion on performance information, they only express an opinion in terms of financials, the indication was that if they would have expressed an opinion, we would have got a qualified opinion on performance information. So the intention is to improve that situation over the medium-term strategic framework period. So moving to the annual performance targets, this is going into more detail, more specific information or in performance information or targets. As far as the first indicator is concerned, it's the number of prioritized areas with approved fixed establishments. Now, the SAPS is currently in a process to review the development of our annual fixed establishment. I must admit at this point in time that the directive from the National Commissioner is that in future we will refer to this as the personnel plan for the South African Police Service. And we are prioritizing certain areas over the MTF period to have detailed plans or personnel plans developed for those environments informed by workload, work study investigations, etc. So over the MTF, there's four areas that has been prioritized for the current financial year, and for the remaining financial year, the remainder or 2020-21, we will do the remainder, and the intention is by 21-22, we have a detailed fixed establishment for the South African Police Service reflecting the requirements at all organizational levels. On page 81, slide 81, the next indicator relates to disciplinary cases. The target is relates here to the finalization of our disciplinary cases within the prescribed time frame. Honourable Chair, that also relates to the priority that has been identified by the Minister that we need to look at to expedite the processes. In 2017-2018, 90% of the disciplinary cases were finalized within 60 calendar days, and there were 134 pending. Indications are that we might achieve 90% of the disciplinary cases in the current financial year. We will maintain a target of 90% of the disciplinary cases to be finalized within 60 calendar days for the medium term. Then the percentage of finalized service termination submitted to various pension funds within the prescribed time frame. Just to explain the rationale, in the past, Honourable Chair, the concerns were raised about the delay in the payment of pension of members that leaves the South African Police Service, and that is why this was included as a specific target to improve the situation. Now, we have in 2019-2020, we are targeting 70% of the terminations to be submitted to the various pension funds within 60 working days from the time that the member exits the service, and then to gradually improve that to 75% in 2021 and 80% in 21-22. As far as training is concerned, and this relates now to specific training interventions, the first training intervention is relates to crime prevention. We are targeting the training of a total of 17,774 employees in the current financial year, and the target is that 97% of those employees attending must be declared competent. As far as crimes committed against women and children is concerned, the TPP makes provision for the training of 7,326 learners, and of which 97% we target to be declared competent. Crime investigation, a total of 6,795 employees to be trained with a competency rate of 97%. The next training intervention is public order policing. We are targeting a total of 6,780 employees with a 97% competency rate. Forensic science, total of 1,877 employees, 97% competency rate. Robert Chair, they are all 97%. I will just repeat the numbers. As far as crime intelligence is concerned, we are targeting a total of 561 employees to be trained. Cybercrime, a total of 935 employees to be trained in the current financial year. Legal principles and the use of firearms, a total of 4,089 employees to be trained. The next indicator, there are two indicators, Honourable Chair, that relates to the IPIT. IPIT makes certain recommendations based on their investigations to the South African Police Service. In terms of the relevant legislation, we as the South African Police Service are then expected or required to implement the, or to initiate these recommendations within a prescribed time frame and also to finalise it within a prescribed time frame. Now, as far as initiation of the recommendations is concerned, we must initiate it within 30 calendar days from the date that the recommendation is received. In the 2017-18 financial year, we managed 99.57% that were initiated within the prescribed time frames. And then our target in terms of the finalization is concerned 90%, that is similar to the other disciplinary cases within SAPS, is that 90% of the disciplinary IPIT-related disciplinary cases must be finalized within 60 calendar days. In the previous financial year, we managed 85%, and the intention is in the current financial year, or the target is to maintain 90% over the medium term. Then the planned police facility projects completed as per the SAPS infrastructure development program in terms of capital works, a total of 12 programs or projects projects have been identified for the 2019-2020. We are targeting a total of 144, and the target is that 80% of the 144 to be achieved over the 2019-20 financial year. As far as plant maintenance is concerned, there's 17 projects that has been scheduled, and we are targeting the completion of 80% thereof and to maintain 80% of the projects over the medium term. And then as far as the distribution of new mobile contact points is concerned, in the current financial year, we are going to procure 15 mobile contact points. That is similar to 2021. That will also include 15 mobile contact points. And then the demand for the 21-22 period still needs to be determined. Bullet-resistant vests distributed in relation to the demand. Honourable Chair, as I indicated, the target is that annually we must procure and distribute 100% of the calculated demand. So all the totals in the previous financial years, if we look at 2017-2018, we procured and distributed 15,808 bulletproof vests. And in 2018-2019, the targeted result was 15,551. Well, this is also in the previous sittings of the PCOP, and where members of the PCOP visit police stations. This is also one of the areas where members complain, where they say they do not have bulletproofs. So the indication is that as SAPS, we are annually, that demand is calculated and procured and distributed to members. Bone of contention, serious matter, is the SAPS owned firearms lost and stolen. In the 2017-2018 financial year, we lost a total of 800 SAPS firearms. And based on the... Sorry, ma'am, yeah, it's a total of 800 SAPS owned firearms were reported as either lost or stolen. That is in 2017-2018. The performance for the current or the 2018-19 financial year will be included in the annual report that we will table soon. Now, based on the actual results of 2016-17, we set a target to reduce it to 5% to 637, and the intention is to continue with the trend. But as a result of the high figure recorded in 2017-2018, it will influence the targets that have been set over the period. the number of identified digital radio communication infrastructure sites that has to be modernized and implemented. In the 2019-20, we have identified a total of 112 high sites to be modernized, implemented, 84 in the next period in the medium term, and 21-22, a total of 74. As far as national network communication infrastructure site implement and modernize is concerned, we are in the current financial year, we are targeting 240 wide area network sites and 180 local area network sites. The next financial year, it's 270 WAN sites, 330 LAN sites, and in the last, or the third year, 280 WAN sites and 330 LAN sites. As far as the sites where we implement closed circuit television, in the current financial year, we are targeting a total of 129 sites. In the next financial year, 106 and 85 in the 21-22 financial year. Then the number of remotely piloted aircraft systems issued to prioritize areas. In the current financial year, it's a total of 10 remotely piloted aircraft systems. In 2021, it increases to 15, and 21-22, it's maintained at 15 remotely piloted aircraft systems. And the prioritized sites where we implemented the case management capabilities, in the current financial year, we are targeting 18 ICDMS sites. In the next financial year, 37 and 19 ICDM sites in the 21-22 period. The prioritized sites implemented with modernized incident management capabilities, 6 in the current financial year, we're targeting 6 10111 centers to install 16,200 vehicle monitoring units, VMUs. In the 2020-21 financial year, it's 10 10111 centers and installing 30,262 vehicle monitoring units. The last indicator on the page, the number of parameter sites implemented with person management capabilities. In the current financial year, we're targeting 266 PIVA sites, 176 for the 2021 period and 21-22, a total of 122 PIVA sites. Then as far as internal audit is concerned, the percentage of audits completed in terms of the annual internal audit plan. For the previous financial year, the target was 236 audits, internal audits to be conducted. In the year before that was also 236, of which all were achieved. Over the medium term in the current financial year, in terms of the approved internal audit plan, there's 166 audits to be conducted. And then for the remaining years, we are targeting 100%. But Honourable Chair, we can't include a figure yet because it annually needs to be approved and adopted by the audit committee and management. Then the percentage of planned forensic investigations finalized, that is also a new performance indicator that we've included. And in the current financial year, there are 8 planned forensic investigations to be finalized during this year. And then in as far as management intervention standards or execution standards are concerned, we initially targeted 270 stations in the country that has been identified for the purpose of implementing management intervention related activities, and we will maintain that over the MTAF targeting the stations that has been identified by management. Honourable Chair, that concludes my part of the presentation as far as Program 1 is concerned. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. It can just be 2 additions. One, it's on the personnel plan, that is the fixed establishment. I think currently, as we speak, the personnel plan is 62,000 below requirement. in terms of the UN approved ratio of the police to the public, 1:220. Currently in South Africa, 1:283. And I'm sorry? Oh, okay. 383, not 283. 1:383. Then the personnel plan, when the population was still at 47 and 48 million, the establishment was at 199,000. Then the personnel plan has been scaled down from that time when the population grew to 54 million and now 57.3. The personnel plan deteriorated to 193,000 as we speak. So 8,000 down. Because of the fiscal constraints, we decided that we're going to start by turning the triangle upside down. There's complaints that SAPS has got a top-heavy structure, but we decided that we would like to migrate resources from the strategic level down to station level, which is at production level. And at the present moment, that is a process that we're busy with, while at the same time we did not give up on the business case because we compiled a business case that which we actually submitted to Treasury. We're also looking for support from the committee just for us to come close to the ratio. The president has pronounced on the 7,000 intake, which we have increased from 3,500 to 5,000 and now 7,000. But it's still a drop in the ocean. Yes, because the special development has outgrown station profiles. I think most of the stations have got inflated profiles. And as a result, it compromises visibility. I think it's stretching far above the police numbers that we have. So, but I think that's where we're moving to. Then when it comes to the performance indicators, I think the presenter has spoken on the employment of people with disabilities. I think also there we need the support of the committee because it is more feasible for SAPS to employ civilians and then as people with disabilities. But to employ SAPS operational members, I think everyone has to pass the battery test. And in terms of the battery test, then people with disability cannot meet that battery test. And if we are measured on the 2%, then it means we might have to compromise some of the standards, which is a problem. The last one, Honorable Chair, is dependency indicators. I think the construction of police stations, we do it under devolve and non-devolve. Now, the majority, which I think is more than 80%, is the non-devolved police stations, and they are under public works. And the majority of the targets that we did not meet, they fall under non-devolved police stations. The challenge that we are experiencing, special development is increasingly taking place, and uncontrolled development also further takes place. Now communities want access to service delivery. Now if public works did not deliver on the non-devolve, we did not deliver as well. But currently we have resorted to a service delivery access strategy, where we're looking for a quick fix into providing access to service and then to the communities. And I think we're trying to use that strategy. Then there's also another dependency indicator with CETA on technology. I think the CETA Act bind us to work through it. But the police requirements, I think CETA does not necessarily have the capacity to meet with them. Some of the systems we want, they have national security implications, which if they are handled by CETA, then we have a problem. I'm sure the committee is aware of the FDA series of events, and there again, service delivery is at risk, because if the shutdown continues, then it means communities may remain without service, and a lot of cases may not receive attention in court. So these are just a few that I thought I must highlight to the committee. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much to the National Commissioner and your presentation. We welcome the presentation. I am not going to give my questions. I'll first give the honourable members opportunities for their questions. I'll take a list and then I'll allow Commissioner, you'll just indicate who will answer, and then I hope to take as many as possible. Would you want to take three, or could I take six? Hands of questions. All right, I start. I'll listen to how long your list is. So if your list is long, I'll take three. If your list is short, I'll take six. What will?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. In the presentation, it was identified that resource allocation will be to the top 30 stations. Whether the department has an indication of which stations those are, and is there a quick way for us to gain access to which of those top 30 stations will be prioritized? The integrated correctional, the integrated budget for correctional services and justice, can't remember the exact terminology. This was a priority where the President mentioned modernizing the system, but the budget has been reallocated to the Department of Justice, if I understood correctly. So what will SAPS be doing to contribute to that specific commitment by the President, and whether it remains an indicator even though the budget is not following on that commitment? Because if it's integrated, it would include SAPS, I presume, as well as correctional services and justice. So what will we be doing without a budget? The general question is, with the compensation of employees at 78%, the enduring question is how we measure cost-benefit. And to put it less crudely, how do we measure the impact of that 78% in terms of service delivery? And what will be done to get more for less, if I can put it that way? So we don't assume that we won't get more officers. What I'm saying is, with the current budget allocation of 78%, Chairperson, what are we going to do to box smart in order to get more impact from our existing SAPS officers? I noticed, and it was commented on, the stolen firearms indicator was only a reduction of 5% year on year. Will that be revisited or reviewed, given the prevalence of those weapons finding their ways onto the into gangsters' hands and other violent crimes? Just two more questions, Chair. The bullet-resistant vests, how is demand assessed or calculated? You indicated that demand is calculated. How is it calculated, just for the benefit of the committee, so that we can understand how the allocation or distribution of those vests are prioritized? Because I presume at the rate of distribution, there are many officers without bulletproof vests that may be responding to serious crimes or violent crimes. And then the remotely piloted aircraft systems, if I can get an indication if that's a fancy word for drones, and how are prioritized sites then determined, and do we have the skills to be able to operate remotely piloted aircraft systems within SAPS, within this financial year, given that there is an indicator and a target associated? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll take the second member. Thank you. Majority.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation that we've just received now. My questions will be on, in terms of the how part on specifications, because we heard on the specific focuses that you'll be focusing on, but we do not know the how part of it. Like you spoke of gender-based violence and that it has taken its toll on the streets, and but we do not know the how part, how what is the strategy going forward to make sure that you reduce the numbers. We hear that you're focusing the specific, that we are focusing on them and the high crimes that are happening, but we do not know how then do we, how then are you going to be able to make sure that you decrease these crimes and violences that are happening on the streets. And also on the prioritization of allocation and availability of cars. Even if we would say maybe there are those that are broken that are still going to be fixed and stuff, but cars are not enough. You are not also specifying that in districts how many cars would you need if you were to be able to take up all the cases that you would need to take. And also in terms of I would like to know in terms of the 7,000 employees that you'll be taking, are there any that you'll be taking from the CPFs that are volunteers in different locations and different districts that are there? And also on the, I can see that we have got an organizational structure, but it's on the high level. What about in the district, local municipalities? What is it that is needed? What are the structures? Where, how many police that are needed there, so that we know when we speak in terms of communities that we speak on what terms? So can we get the specifications on that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member Termlach.
Chairperson, the veteran is going to ask a lot of questions.
Please go ahead.
You need to decide whether you're going to allow me now, because that is going to take a while.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just to start where my colleagues left, you know, this is obviously a very important department. Very, very important. So, and this is a huge department, the second largest, you know, portion of the budget of all departments. And, you know, I was listening to the presentation, and you know what came to mind is, if I'm a taxpayer out there, not, you know, exposed to policing and stuff, will people be able to follow what was presented here? You know, my take on it is that it's a very vague, high-level presentation, and, you know, my colleague touched on that. And, you know, will they be able to understand what was said here and how are their money spent and how are they going to make South Africa a safer place for them? I'm coming to the specific questions, Chairperson. I think it's Major General Rabi that did the presentation, not so. Okay, you know, on about, you know, the State of the Nation address, you know, in this little block here, creating a safe and secure crime-free environment that is conducive for social and economic stability. This can obviously only be a dream. Crime-free, I don't think that we will ever reach that stage where South Africa is going, or any other state for that matter, is going to be crime-free. You know, so I just want to get some clarity on that. Chairperson, then the reduction of serious crimes with 50%. We also, you know, we heard, you know, good intentions, very good intentions here, we need to and we have to and we want. But we haven't heard anything, how? So my question is, how are we going to get to that point? The high crime areas, Chairperson, once again, how is it going to be done? Is it going to be done by better investigation? Jacked up crime intelligence, visible policing, how is that going to be done? We Because at the moment, you know, it's just a statement in the air, and really I'm at a loss. How are we going to achieve that? Chairperson, then, the perception about corruption. I was just wondering, you know, the hawks, if I may call them that, are we, and this is just, you know, a question that is in my mind, are we satisfied that the hawks, you know, are meeting the expectations about them? In the mind of the public out there, I don't think they are meeting that expectation, and that's why a new unit also got created, you know, with injustice. And my question to the National Commissioner and the Divisional Commissioner will be, how are we going to rectify this shortcoming? Because really we need to do something about that.
My apologies, Honourable Member Terblanche. We will allow them to also, if there are sections of your questions, which say, for example, the walks, the presentation is tomorrow. So they could also tell us that.
Granted. Granted.
Would that be fine?
It's fine with me, Chairperson.
Okay, but please continue.
Yeah. Chairperson, then again, you know, it was also mentioned that we need to increase our footprint. And I was listening very attentively what was said here. Footprint increase in what sense? I've also read through this document, you know, before we came here. And if we go to the capital works, for instance, I picked up that in the current financial year, apparently only three new police stations are going to be completed. Three. The other projects, you know, obviously is, you know, property related or, you know, infrastructure related, but that is not necessarily increasing the footprint, bringing the police nearer to the community. So I don't understand how the footprint is going to be increased, and I need clarity on that, Chairperson. Chairperson, then the reallocation, sorry, I can't read my own writing now. About resources. What I'm gathering here is apparently the department is waiting for additional funding to buy extra resources and make it available to under-resourced areas and police stations. Now, you know, there was a long discussion in the media a while ago about this, and the expectation, I think, was that resources needs to be allocated equally. Obviously in terms of a lot of criteria, and I'm not going to go into that, Chairperson. But apparently, as I said, I need clarity. Apparently the police is expecting to get additional money that will allow them to buy those additional resources to jack up, you know, the availability of resources. Chairperson, then there is human resource development. Human resource development, okay, obviously, you know, what I gathered here is about training and retraining and stuff like that. But is it only in a specific field? What about, you know, the professionalization of the police in the sense? What about the policing style, the method of policing, your approach to a police, to police, and how you utilize your resources, both human and you know, physical? Fact of the matter is, I'm not always convinced that we are making the best possible use of the resources that we have. And we can have a long discussion about that, and I'm not going to dwell into that, Chairperson. The other statement here was made about modernized vehicle and air fleet. How? Are we going to buy new airplanes? Are we going to buy new choppers? Are we going to buy vehicles now with better air conditioning? Or what are we going to do? And that obviously that can only be a very, very long-term project. Because, Chairperson, it is very expensive to do this and we don't have money. I also picked up that the budget is going to be sort of maintained on a certain level. So we are not going to get a lot of extra money to buy additional resources. Chairperson, you know, it's slide 23. very important, stamping the authority of the state. Once again, how? You know, obviously policing is a professional setup. And, you know, we need to, are you going to put in additional or extra, you know, sort of, are you going to send in people for a specific purpose, projects? Are you going to beef up, you know, functional policing, crime prevention? What are you going to do to achieve this? That is a very, very vague statement. And for the uninformed, you know, people will think, yes, you are going to do something. I'm not exactly sure what you're going to do, and I'm asking. Building a professional and a capable SAPS. I would like to have some indication on exactly how do you think to get there. Building this professional SAPS that we all yearn for. We really need this. And you know, from the DA side, Chairperson, we are very, very enthusiastic that the police is venturing here. But, you know, you need to tell us how, and we'll definitely support as far as we can. Chairperson, then, and this is maybe a very, you know, something that we need to discuss. This new organizational structure, why would you be needing that? You have already indicated that you are going to maintain the police numbers. So why would you be needing that? You know, this is already a very top-heavy structure. Very, very top-heavy. You know, if you count the blocks, there's a lot of lieutenant generals, you know, stacking up to the rafters. And yet we want to build a bigger organization at top-level, Chairperson, and not necessarily at entry level. So my question is, why would you go there? And then the last question about that, it's not my last question. Is the structure that you're working on, is that the very same structure I've also picked up that there is some work being done today about the so-called one police service? That is now inclusive of provincial police, municipal police, blah, blah, blah. Is that also part of the structure? Chairperson, let me just page on. Now, it was announced, and you know, it was also touched on here, the 7,000 additional members that is going to be trained. My question is it starting from next financial year? And if so, remember, you know, you are merely sort of catering in terms of budget for, you know, normal inflation and stuff like that. Are you going to reprioritize to accommodate this additional people, or do you expect to get additional funding? That is just something that I also want to know. Chairperson, I'm getting there. Chairperson, I did touch on the question of police stations, so I'm comfortable with that, you know, and the National Commissioner made a very important announcement. We will have to plan, Chairperson. My question is, how are we going to do that? With this new, you know, development in terms of, you know, let's say, building of, you know, cities and towns and stuff, we will have to beef up existing police stations to accommodate the additional people that we are going to serve from that very police stations. Chairperson, on slide 39, the rental and housing allowance. Does that amount of 2.8 billion, does it also include rentals for office accommodation? Of this, is it only applicable to housing? I did touch on the headcount of the 1,000, Chairperson. Now, is that still the case, or the 7,000, does that bring about a turnaround in terms of, you know, sustaining the numbers. Chairperson, my colleague, that touched on the bulletproof resistant vests. And my question is, the vest that we are going to, or the 15,000 something that is mentioned here, is that only additional vests required, or does that also replace outdated vests? Because there is a rumor going around that the police have bulletproof vests that in some instances are obsolete. So that is just something that I also need to get clarity on.
Honourable member, are you getting to your end of your list, because if other members would like to contribute?
I want you, Chairperson, that I'm going to
yes,
be busy here a very long time.
I've given you a lot already.
No, but we need to be able to ask the questions, Chairperson. So if you want to stop me, you need
to
stop
me. There'll be another round.
Okay, it's fine, I can stop for now, but I'm not done yet, Chairperson.
I do not want to suppress you. I just want to give the other members.
No, I'm fine with that, Chairperson.
I'm afraid if I...
I abide by your ruling, Chairperson.
Yeah, the others will start complaining, you know, that there must be something that I'm trying to allow you, you know. So I give you all this time.
Chairperson, we are here to engage the department. And as I said, I am not done yet, but I'm happy to go with your ruling. Thank you.
Honourable member, you will certainly get more time.
Thank you.
Honourable member Mofoke, Honourable member Mapatswe, and then Honourable member Peacock. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chair, I think a number of questions have been asked by my honourable members. I just want to go to, I think it's page 11 on specific focus. There is this issue of the gender-based violence. And I'm asking my question that, are you going to start in educating the police officers that in police stations, they don't even use the register for domestic violence? And how many times have you used it? If there's any police office station that has used that, please indicate to us which one. And the other part is that on the issue of vulnerable groups, I take people that are homeless as vulnerable. And I'm worried that listening to the news, that you have homeless people killed in Tshwane, and what doesn't make somebody comfortable is that your communication from the police services is actually worrying, because they are saying nobody's arrested, but the media says somebody was in court. Can you clarify us on that? Sorry, Chair. On the issue of your specific focus, I think it's on slide 14, about the corruption at local government level, I wonder, are you also counting the Metro Police? Because as the member has just talked about once a police service, you know, one doesn't get anywhere where somebody is saying that the Metro Police will be also part of us monitoring them. And I'm saying this because I'm aware that they were established under the South African Police Services Act. But I don't see them coming into party into this. But related to that, I would like to know that on the organizational structure, who does that monitor the Metro Police on behalf of the police, because they are under that act? They cannot say that the province doesn't have any high competency except national. So we should be actually cleared on that. On the sub-employees involved in corruption, I think we should know what kind of corruption. Others is on dockets, but also we should be clarified that when you say that you want to improve how you actually make sure that there's no corruption, are you going to start with making sure that you don't have that old-fashioned of fingerprints, you go biometrics? Are you planning to do that? And if that is that, what is the budget on that? And on the human resources management, do you have an exit interviews? I didn't get anything on that. I've actually seen when you were saying that there is a way of people actually exiting, but I don't know if you have an exit because interview, so that you can be able to analyze and see that these are the problems that we are having. And I think I should also give others a chance. Chair, I want to check on the other part that is actually worrying me, is on the what the National Commissioner has raised, and it's actually something that is good for us to understand, that the population of the country is at 47%. And we are saying that Cape Town and Gauteng is the ones that are actually a problem in crime. And the population of Gauteng is 14,000, which is double from 1994. Can I actually get a clarity that in all provinces, do you know how many actually police officers are you expecting? So that when we are sitting here next time, we'll be saying in Gauteng is so much, in Cape Town is so much, because you are looking at the population. But if you call on a budget when we don't know how many you are expecting and how many cars, as members we say, that you'll be expecting in that, because it's not only going to be about police, it's also about the resources that you have to actually get on that. And the worrying factor is the, I had even my chairperson, you know, having a sigh, 800 firearms missing. Where are they? And if they are missing being 800, I want to know, in all the crimes that you came across, how many have been recovered? That these people actually stole them, and what actually happened? But also even those police officers who were having these firearms, what is it that you are doing? Are they among those that are disciplined? Because if you are given a business tool, you must be able to care for it and be able to use it the way you are requested. I'm going to leave the other parts for my colleagues, but the last part, and as a woman, I wouldn't leave the chair. Sorry. On the organogram, how many women do you have in this top structure? If we can know that, is it a male-dominated? Because even now, women are less than men. They are actually less. So if we can know about it, it will be fine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mofoke. Honorable Mapatse.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure some of the questions that...
Honorable, may I just interrupt you slightly? Honorable Member Malikwa, is it okay for you? Can you hear, or should we be a little bit louder? You happy? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether the questions that I'm going to ask here, it relates to Thursday's presentation. I don't know whether security... No. The private security, the next week one, Tuesday, the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority. If it's related to that, you can explain that. But I'm trying to say here, Chair, is that there's a plan that has been presented here, which we will adopt next week, Tuesday. And I think we need to go through it, honorable members, because this is what we are going to hold yourselves accountable, because you are presenting a plan to us. This is what you are going to do 2019-2020. You spoke about the State of the Nation address about the school safety program. We had many now deaths in school vicinities. So So I know that it might not be whether the responsibility of the police to protect the schools, to be in the schools, but the relationship between the education and the police, because these are the things that if we speak about creating a safe and secure crime-free environment, it does include also schools. The commissioner spoke about here the ratio here in South Africa, it's 1:383. So that means you are overstretched. There are things that you cannot do. You are proposing to turn the structure the other way around. I read an article, and I don't believe in articles. I want to know the reality. You spoke about anti-gangsterism unit. And in that article, it says that you are just shifting people from police station and give them a jacket with the anti-gang unit without that skills. The professional, the skills that they need to perform outside, because it's risky when you deal with gangsters. I don't think you also want to be like Brazil, where the gangsters, they control the areas that you end up going to ask a permission to enter into Manenberg. I don't think you want to go there. So I just want to get the issue of that thing of the training of the unit that we have established, and I saw that you are, the minister announced that you are establishing it nationally now. That if you establish nationally, are those people trained to deal with gangsterism? Because the gangsters that we have now, it's not just your usual gangsters that you had before. These are professional gangsters that want to take over and undermine the rule of law. And in undermining the rule of law, they are also going to be brutal. And they're not going to have mercy to our policemen and women. So I just wanted to know about the training. The one that I'm not sure about is the private security companies. That we have been treating them as a threat to the police. And then you even have the stats that they are more armed than the police. So I'm not sure if we can have a situation whereby we say, let us turn them around. Rather than looking at them as a threat, but we use them as a force multiplier. Because they are everywhere, these private security companies. And where in areas where there are rich people, the crime goes down because they fund. And those criminals, they shift, they go to the other areas where there are people who are poor, and it will affect the poor people. So I was asking that, can't you use the private security companies, have discussions with them, change their mindset, and use them as a force multiplier, rather than looking at them as people that are protecting buildings it ends up there. They have money. They have a lot of money, those people. And I think with the money that they are getting and the money that we don't have, the police does not have, if you can have maybe your programs that are linked to them, maybe you have meetings with them, it's up to you, the commissioner, how you will handle it, whether it will work or not. It's just a suggestion that we are proposing, that we should use everything that we have in our country that will assist to deal with crime. I know that we're still waiting for that the private security amendment bill to be signed, but if we can look into that. Lastly, is the issue of the single police service. I thought by now it should have been implemented. I know there have been presentations here, even in Parliament, and there was a structure that was established, and if my memory serves me well, it was that it was going to fall under the divisional commissioner. There were four proposals. I think the one of they will fall under the divisional commissioner. And I think it's very important to have them, that single police service to be established as a matter of agency, because it's a long, outstanding resolution that has been taken. It just needs to be implemented, because it will assist your commissioner, because you can deploy other forces somewhere, because if you have them, and my understanding with that is that they are going to have the same training with the police. So if you have them trained, you are able to shift your manpower to other agent needs. So like, as I said, you have a situation where the gangsterism that you are dealing with, it's not your old gangsters that they are just gangsters. But these are gangsters that want to take over and control and ultimately render our police men and women or our police service useless. The other ones I will ask, Chair.
That was the last one now for this round.
No, I'm saying for now.
For now, yes.
Yes.
You say that was the last one for now.
Yes, I'm saying the presentation is not yet over. Remember, there are other presentations that are going to be made tomorrow up until Tuesday. So
absolutely. So we'll have quite a bit of time.
So this is that was the last one I raised. And I am done, Chairperson.
Honorable Member Pico.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first start to acknowledge the presentation. Mine would be on page 34, budgetary report, especially on the issue of compensation. It was indicated that for compensation purposes, or maybe compensation of employees, is around 78.2% that they are spending. Then I would firstly like to know what is the standard norm for them as a department to be operational. What would it be, so that when we do an oversight role, we'd be able to allocate correctly and have a strategic setting point if we know what is the standard norm, so that when we look at the comparison, we'd be able to find way and solution on how would that be effective, or the department will be effective. Then the other issue is, I can see that this is an annual report, and I can see it's consolidated. And as members, what we need to know is, or what we need to have, not to know but to have, is a report stipulating per province, so that when we do our oversight role, for us again to look at the specification from this province to that province, and this is the consolidation report. When you look at the consolidation report, you'd be able now to reflect correctly per province the report that is that we are having in front of us. I know that it should be reported today, but as members, we need to be more informed of per province so that we look and compare in order for us to see the performance, in order for us to play a corrective oversight role. The other issue that I would like to raise in this platform again is that when police are advocated, we are looking or concentrating a lot on population. And from these other provinces like Northern Cape, it's not only population that affects the area of the Northern Cape. It's population with the distance. So whatever that you do in terms of allocation of employees or a staff to a particular province, we should look at the dynamics, not just on the population, but also to check the distance and the dynamics within that particular province, so that we'd be able to play the correct and give correct points and measures, so that as then playing an oversight role, we'll be able to see what are we targeting, so that we look at our projection correctly. So those are the three that I wanted to ask for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then the next one is Member Mapanka. Mafana.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Mafana. Yes,
Mafana. I must get it right.
Yeah, get it right. Yeah.
Okay.
Got to. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair and the Commissioner. A lot of members have just spoken, but the concern that I have is that a lot of them, they lack detail. Here it says in the President's own speech, it says violent crime will be halved. You begin to question, what about the other half? Should they be exposed to the brand of those violent crimes? What happens to that? And then number two, it also says cross-border and transnational crime. The reality also, it carries the weight of drugs that are coming into the country as well. Then you begin to question the role that is played by intelligence. And again, there is a tendency or a culture that has visited a country where you have a lot of illegal people in the country who commit crime with impunity, and they are not captured. And how do you cap such a movement of illegal immigrants in the country as the police? Then the issue of the morale of the police, the well-being of the police, it doesn't say anything. Says we'll take care of the well-being of the police, but the how part of it is not explained. Because once we have a demoralized police force, it's as good as we are wasting. That is going to be money going to go into waste. And there is also a plea for more fleet. Then we question what happened with the previous one. They got broken. How can they be repaired? How do we leave it to come to such a state of affairs? Because the minute you say there's a police station that does not have cars, but how do you allow a police station to arrive at such a level where we have people who are responsible for an upkeep of those fleets? And then the other part is where we talk about the effective community police forums. From where I sit, where there are police forums, community police forums, those people are not trained in must be not much as they have been there for ages, but they are just volunteers who are abused by communities, including our own police. How do you hope to motivate those people in those forums? Now, the other issue is where there's going to be an intake of 7,000 members. In which discipline is the police force? How are they going to be deployed? How long is the training going to take for one individual? And what is the cost of training one individual on those? You have just painted a bleak future for the department, because you have just said there's a shortfall of around 60,000. 62,000 police members that needs to be trained. What happens if they are not? What happens if we do not provide you with the 62,000 that is a shortfall? Does it mean the police force is going to collapse under those circumstances? We need to get some clarity there, because there is not enough money in the country as we speak now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mafanya. The next member, we're happy. Honorable Member Ter Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I only have three questions left. Chairperson, first of all, on slide 69, and we obviously all support that, to reduce the number of SAPS Act members murdered on duty over the median term, and then a number is quoted here, a percentage, 4%. I can just assume it's just a target, because it cannot be anything else. So, you know, if there's some other thing that I don't know about, I would like to hear that. Chairperson, then about the vehicle fleet, to maintain a ratio of 4.51 towards the personnel, what is lacking here is, I would like to know what is the percentage availability, the average percentage availability at any given time that is ready for service. That is my question regarding that. And the very last one, Chairperson, the state-owned firearms that were reported stolen or lost, I don't think it's acceptable that we only intend to manage it down by 5%. Chairperson, this is rather serious. I think really that, you know, we must request the National Commissioner and his team, that they will have to indicate to us how they are going to seriously attend to this to manage it down. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm done.
Thank you very much to the Honourable Members. Could I also get a chance to ask my questions? No, I also have questions. So yours is still one. You may go ahead.
Sorry, my apologies. I just missed it here. I did not know it. Under human resource development, there is an issue about the non-statutory force, which is a long outstanding issue that was supposed to have been resolved by now. And this speaks also to the morale of the police. So I just want to know in the plan, because it started long time ago, and I know it was led by the then Deputy Minister Soju. And I know for a fact that there is a committee that deals with the non-statutory force. So in your plan here, it seems as if it's now a dead thing that is not going to happen any longer. I know there have been court cases up and down, I just want to know how far is this thing of the non-statutory force, because I know it demoralizes people, and people, they pass on, others they end up going to pension without this issue being resolved, and it is not anywhere in the plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. My first question is how the SAPs will implement the President's call to reduce violent crime by 50% in the next decade. What are our plans to achieve this? The second one is if the Commissioner and the unit can please inform the committee on the progress on the revision of the SAPS Act. We need our mandate, and our mandate is informed by the SAPS Act. But as far as I'm concerned, that act has never been amended and adopted in terms of the new constitution of our country. Now that's how outdated this act is. So I think the priority of this committee is to look at the legislative framework, and I would certainly want us, not just as a question to them, but as a commitment by the committee, that we do review the SAPS Act and that the amendment bill be tabled this financial year. I'm just looking at the post of the head of forensics. Has that post been filled yet? Do you have any plans, if it has not been filled, to fill it with a permanent head? Now, the matter of firearms have been broadly covered by the members. I'm not going to repeat it, but you noticed I was horrified when I even interrupted you when you said this. It was absolutely out of control. But what are your plans to fix the Central Firearms Registry? Is this actually not complex in terms of the backlogs? And do you actually consider this Central Firearms Registry, which processes license, to be effective and functioning? The Honourable Member, the Blanche, you've mentioned about the 853 million that was transferred from the administrative program to the Department of Justice and Correctional Services. I'm also asking why, and could the committee please get an explanation? Was it because that money was spent? Why? I think we are owed an explanation. I agree with you on that. I'm not going to repeat the other questions, but could we now allow the department at SAPS to respond? Would the members be happy? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think we're going to be taking the questions according to the different categories. Then I'll take the questions at strategic level. The first question I'm going to take is the question which relates to who monitors the metros in terms of the current structure of the subs. I think in terms of the current structure of the subs, we have 4 deputy national commissioners. Then we've got 1, which is the deputy national commissioner policing. So it's monitored under the policing leg of the organization, and it is linked to the division visible policing. Currently. Maybe because there were also a few questions that relate to metros, including the single police service. I'm sure the Secretary of Police will talk to the policy development, because the Secretariat has undertaken an exercise of policy development relating to the Singhis Police Service. But what we have done from the South African Police Service, we have convened all metros into a strategic, an integrated strategic plan. And we sat together and we workshopped that integrated strategy. One of the key deliverables is also the implementation of the Singhis Police Service. We were together with the Secretariat there, but I'm sure Mr. Rapia will be able to explain the policy part. So I can only say to the committee, the issue of a Singhis Police Service is treated as a policy priority. And what we intend to operationalize it through that integrated strategy, and all the metros are supporting it. Then police officers expected in all provinces in terms of the ratio. The first thing I can highlight to the committee is a directive which I have issued. I set the ratio of police to the public. We cascade it down to police station. It's going to start with the station profile. So each police station, through the station profile, will now be calculating the ratio of police to the public. Then it will escalate to regions, and then provinces, right up to national. So that exercise is part of reviewing the personnel plan of SAPS as we're speaking. I also agree with members of the committee, because the different areas respond differently in terms of the ratio of police to the public. There are stations where the ratio is 1:499. Then if you go to another station, 1:600. So that ratio is the one that balances up, and as the committee directed, that information will be made available in future. Then there's the question of women in the organogram. I'm sure General Nzia will just indicate the number.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The percentage, Honorable Members, for the males at the Lieutenant General, we are standing at 57%, and the females, they are 43%. Thanks.
Thank you. I will proceed, Honorable Chair. The relationship between the Department of Education as well as the police with regard to school safety. I think firstly, we have a project that we refer to as the Adopt a Cop or Adopt a School project, where all police stations are linked to schools, or all schools are linked to police stations. And that cop that we refer to is the one that is responsible for that particular school. It might happen at some other stages that one police is assigned to be responsible to more than one school, depending on the situation in that particular area. But this project, we're working together on it with Department of Education. But further to that, there's also an alignment of the community policing structures, and is also addressed through the community policing strategy. Now, together with community policing, we also decided that both community policing and sector policing must be aligned to a school, and each school should know in which sector is it, and the sector resources and processes that are taking place in that particular school area. According to the directives issued from my office must be linked to the schools, and where we work together with the school committees and all that. Then the AGUs, I think, firstly, Honorable Chair, because of the quick response we needed to provide, because people were being killed, we did not take ordinary members from police stations, but we took them from medium and high-risk forces. Our medium and high-risk forces, they start with TRT, then there's national intervention, then there's task force. So those are the members from who receive high-risk training. Those are the members that we started with deploying them there. But I have also issued a specific directive that we have a dedicated training and development program. And I think HRD is working on that program. They must have been very far because the instruction is from the past. But this training will include some of our members even trained outside the country, because we will be benchmarking, that is the training. And the budget has been allocated for the AGUs. Then we would like to welcome the input from the Honorable Member about the use of private security as a force multiplier. But it's working in three ways. Currently, what is in progress, the security companies that are conveying cash, they are part and parcel of us as a collective response to cash in transit. I think we've been working together to drive the cash in transit criminals backward. Then, secondly, on the ones that are securing certain specific premises, we are working together with CIRA, and so that they do comply, and they will also make sure that they are cleared of crime. But the engagement part as to how they can work together with us, we're also doing it under the 5 main objectives of the National Crime Prevention Strategy: maximization of civil society participation in crime prevention. So we buy the input, and we will take it forward. Then the 78% personnel expenditure vis-a-vis the norm. I think the norm is 75-25. So I think we have exceeded it. And one of the efforts we are putting in place, I think in the turnaround, as we review the personnel plan, is to drive it down to 25. Because if we leave it to increase, it's going to consume operational budget. We will be having more little to, that is, to police. And what I indicated earlier on with regard to the migration of resources, and as well as turning that is the triangle. One example I can give is that from last year early up to this far, I think there's 7 generals who exited the organization, and we decided we're not replacing them. And then instead, we're scaling the budget of their salaries down to production level. So I think that is just one of the approaches that I'm giving, which will assist. So that, but there are those that we may not replace at all in order to come down to 25 and reduce maybe other expenses. And then while I'm talking about the personnel plan, there was also a question of the population should not be the only criteria to determine the budget. I think one of the instructions that I've given, I think SAPS did not have a resource management strategy. And I have instructed one. I think I'm sure it's above 98% development. But as we've been designing the integrated resource management strategy, one of the things we did was to do away with criteria that's inconsistent. And the whole criteria for allocation, distribution, and redistribution of resources has been reviewed. Now, I think apart from the population, there's also a crime weight. There's also demographics in the different provinces. So all that comes to the, that is the criteria. But those criteria will then be approved. If the committee also wants to witness some of them, we will not hesitate to bring them here. Then the report unpacking each province, I think we will make it available, but if there's further details required, I think we'll generate better information and ask for a deadline. But we do have the breakdown. Then there was a question regarding the crime-free being a dream. I wanted to clarify it. The crime-free is the turnaround, the new turnaround vision of SAPS. And therefore, yes, it is a dream. And it's a dream that is connected to the vision of the country. And that's how SAPS is driving it. Reducing crime by 50%, I think I can only talk to the high-level interventions, but the detail, there is a crime-fighting plan. I think the head of policing can be able to submit it, and from crime detection, they can indicate the investigative approach. But if we talk up, firstly, what we're talking about, and there was also a question that talks to stepping the authority of the state, we're following the stabilization and normalization of crime. And in that particular process, we identify the hotspots in the country and in specific crimes. As over and above the hotspot, we also do an analysis of the modus operandi. We have established a modus operandi analysis center. Then from there, we then come up with interventions. At the present moment, we've got several stabilization interventions in the country where both national as well as provincial are working together. But once such stabilization has taken place, then the normalization process starts, which is a multidisciplinary collaboration. Because some of the factors are outside the police to deal with them as we deal with the root cause, that is analysis. Then we also have the OCTA, which is the COVID operation where we're targeting the big fishes. I'm sure there we're targeting syndicates, and we want to make sure that those syndicates are actually taken down. There's few of the inroads that we do make also in that particular environment, like the big drug busts. I think we had in Harding and several that is areas. Then we've got the wanted suspect metrics, where we going on hunting, that is the wanted. But I'm sure the detailed plan to reduce the crimes, I think the operatives, they will talk more to it, because it comes from the National Crime Combating Forum, which is a structure dedicated to deal with the, that is the plans. I think DPCI is also going to speak about our satisfaction pertaining to the hawks. But from my side as the National Commissioner, because I'm also cited, yes, we are not satisfied with where DPCI is, because DPCI need to be resourced to fly higher than they are flying at the present moment. Actually, they need to be an elite. When they come in, their presence must be felt. And in actual fact, the criminals must all shake. So there are certain areas that we're working together with General Libya in order to improve the resourcing of the DPCI. And there are certain interventions that he's busy with. But I think we are trying to better. That is the current situation. Then building a professional service, first it starts with the transformation of the subs. Secondly, it comes with training and development. What is the defined quality which we want? And what's the defined quality of a corps that you want to see serving that is outside there? And the quality of a leader. Then how should the community perceive us? Because I think the professionalism needs to be displayed to the communities, including the confidence. So I think then it also, building a professional staff also goes with the resourcing, which is coupled to it, and including the morale of the members, which one of the honorable members has touched. The need for the organizational structure. I wanted to explain the organizational structure a little bit more detail. The current structure consists of 4 deputy national commissioners, but we're moving from 6, so we're scaling down to 4. But this particular structure is also subject to evaluation. Its implementation runs through a pilot. After 12 months, we are also going to review the pilot. There may be further reduction. And currently, it also goes with certain of the divisions which has been discontinued. I think one of them, Deputy National Commissioner Management Intervention, and then HRU and few. I think some of them, they've been reduced. So as we implement it, we will further evaluate it. And if it gives us better results in policing, we'll keep it. If it doesn't, then we'll change it. So I think that's the reason why we need the current structure. Then the rest of the questions, I will give them to the operatives. I think I will afford the Deputy National Commissioners first, then they will go down. With your permission, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm going to answer the question with regard to the ratio of the vehicles. As the National Commissioner also alluded, that the ratio also differs from province to province because it goes according to the number of the police that are there vis-a-vis the number of vehicles that are there. So if details are required per province, we'll be able to provide such information. Obviously, today we came with the APP because we believe it was the overview of the annual operational plan of the entire organization. However, in terms of the breakdown, we'll be able to provide them. And then with regard to the issue regarding the facility that the former Commissioner Terry Blanche asked about, General Stolle, who is directly responsible for facilities, will take those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
On the question relating to the three police stations that are a target for completion this financial year and how are we going to increase the footprints, the National Commissioner has talked with regard to the access to policing services strategy, which aims to increase the number of satellite police stations, especially where community members are walking long distances to get services from the police. So what we've done is we've identified police stations where satellites need to be, satellites and contact points need to be established. We'll also give the details as the general has mentioned. What also adds up to the three police stations is the mobile CSCs that are distributed to the provinces, where members will drive to a specific area to avoid communities also driving to police stations just to certify documents. So in terms of ensuring that there's no long queues at police stations for people that are coming to certify, also we issue the mobile CSCs. Last financial year, 15 were bought and distributed. The three police stations that Honourable Member has talked about are the ones that have been coming from the Deep Rural Police Stations Program, which will be completed this financial year. But we do have the details of the police stations that have been prioritized from the next financial year, because we've unlocked the process in terms of the fast-tracking of the under construction of police stations. I'm not sure whether I need to cover the bulletproof. In terms of the bulletproof resistant vest, how do we determine the demand? One is that in terms of the number of members whose bulletproof vests have been reported to have worn out that need replacement. There's the first worker. Number two is, as the president has given, the total number of recruits is 7,000. Our planning starts there and there to ensure that we do have 7,000 bulletproof vests as and when they arrive at the college. So we plan beforehand. So that's how we determine. Then also in terms of the new, the 5% buffer stock that each and every station must have in terms of the bulletproof vest. So that's how we determine. And also, I think the other question was that in terms of the 15,000 that has been indicated in the plan, does it include the replacement? The answer is yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And all questions that relate to human resource related environment, I'm going to request Lieutenant General Nsia and General Zulu to respond to those. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'll be responding to the questions related to human resource management. The first question is with regard to the 7,000 recruits. The question from the Honourable Member was as to whether are we going to take or appoint members from the CPF. In responding to this one, I just need to indicate that whenever we advertise posts in the SAPS, we follow a normal open advert process, and we are targeting all South Africans that are meeting the requirements in terms of our police regulations. So if there are members of CPF that will be interested to participate in the process and meet the requirements, they will be at liberty to apply for such positions and the process will be followed. And also in terms of how are we going to deploy the 7,000 posts, the National Commissioner has already indicated that our priority is our local stations, police stations. So the 7,000 posts, they will be prioritized to go to the police stations and to also address the new units that we have established, like the anti-gang units, the taxi violence units. So all these posts will be deployed at local level police stations. And another question was as to whether the 7,000 that we are going to recruit, is it for next year or for the current financial year? This will be for, they are going to be recruited during this current financial year, meaning that they will be going to the colleges around March next year, but the process will start now because as soon as funding is made available for the 7,000,
and they will be going to the college. We are currently having about 5,000 at the college. They will be coming out of the college in December this year, and they will also be deployed at our local police stations. In as far as corruption is concerned, corruption against police officers, in terms of our disciplinary regulations, yes, we deal with such cases. And IPED is also investigating corruption against our members. And in terms of the members of the Metro Police, we are not dealing with their corruption cases, but IPED is also investigating corruption against the Metro Police members. The question related to exit interviews, yes, Honourable Member, we do conduct exit interviews for all members that are exiting the police. In the Human Resource Management Committee, we do analyse the motivations or the answers of members, why are they leaving the organisation, and we are having some mitigating, you know, processes to deal with, you know, the reasons why members are leaving the organisation. In as far as the losses of firearms are concerned, yes, all losses of firearms are being investigated, and where there is a negligence against a member, the necessary steps are taken against such members that will have lost their firearms due to negligence. The morale and the well-being of our police officers, yes, it was not in the slide, but we do have within division personal management, we have a component, employee health and wellness, which is mainly focusing on the well-being of the members. We do have programs that we are running within the organization. If the Honourable Members wants to know the programs that we are running, we can make that information available to Honourable Members. I think those are the questions that were related to human resource management. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be responding to the questions that are related to human resource development. My colleague, General Nsia, already touched on some of those issues because they are cross-cutting issues. But what I have to respond on this one is all the questions that were related in terms of the training of the 7,000 intake that will be, for the next financial year, as well as the professionalization of the SAPS. Maybe to look at the issues of training, I would say if we talk about the issue of the training of the 7,000, we must look in terms of the recruitment, professionalization of the SAPS, and also the graduate program that DPSAA has introduced in terms of the recruitment. Why I'm specifying this, because this is what is going to inform our training in the future. So we're going to have two streams. We have the streams of those that have not done anything related to the qualification in terms of safety and security, and then we have those the graduates that have already undergone a training related to safety and security, so that you've got one version where the people will go the full program, and the other one will go the accelerated program, which is more of a lateral entry, because these people already, they've got relevant qualification, but they need more skills in terms of technical training. So where will be the focus? So that is how then we'll be looking in terms of professionalizing the police and making sure that those people that are already professionals in terms of policing are being absorbed within the organization. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
There was a question with regards to the amendment of the Police Act. I'm going to request the Divisional Commissioner that is responsible for legal services to answer to that. And also the questions relating to technology, Lieutenant General Masie will answer in that order, please. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In respect of the review of the SAPS Act, it's actually the Secretariat that's driving the process, because that is their responsibility, but they are working closely with us, the SAPS, and in particular legal services. The process has been followed. Extensive consultations have taken place. The draft document has been submitted to the state law advisors for certification and to look at the constitutionality of the provisions of the SAPS Act. And at this point in time, we are awaiting certification, or the Secretariat is awaiting certification, and thereafter the processes will be followed in terms of bringing it before Parliament. Parliament and also to be published in the Gazette for public comments. That's as far as the SAPS Act is concerned, Madam Chair. That is promising.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and good afternoon. I'm going to answer the question on the technology. The Honourable Member asked whether the remote piloted aircraft system, is it a drone, and how are we going to utilize it? Yes, it is a drone, and we are looking at utilizing it to address the safety and security, inter alia to be utilized in the investigation of crime, detectives, as well as combating of crime. And we are going to utilize it following all the legislation that are attached to the utilization thereof. The integrated budget for modernizing systems. In government, we are given a cue that we need to integrate as departments, more especially where there are systems that we can utilize as departments so that we can cap cost and ensure that we spend where the value is. So the SAPS is going to input on this integration by ensuring that we input on the development of the IS solutions that are going to be developed by the government where the SAPS is going to realize value. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. The last questions from me are finance-related questions, which I will hand over to the CFO of SAPS to respond to. Then I will hand over to my colleagues, the other DNCs. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me take this one of the IAJS funding that was shifted from SAPS to Department of Justice. SAPS is continuing to access these funds through project plans. We were expected to submit project plans to access these particular funds. Project plans are available. They have been approved, so we are able to access this funding, though it has been shifted to the Department of Justice, but we can access that particular funding. There was also a question that relates to the 2.8 billion on the wage bill, whether it included accommodation or is only allowance. The answer is it's allowances. General Nelson, the others, I'm not sure whether I've captured all of them.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to respond. The first one, Honourable Whitfield requested clarity with regards to the cost of employment and the cost-benefit analysis with regards to the impact, looking at the 78-22 percentage split. What cost-benefit are there? Now, one should remember, due to the extensive numbers of personnel, big movement of personnel in terms of the ratio will imply reprioritization. So if we move these bulk members as intervention operations, like what the National Commissioner was referring to, then one reprioritization, you get cost benefit due to the extensive numbers of personnel that can be deployed in terms of that. So you have impact through the deployment of those numbers, and you get value for money once hence you can redeploy those members. Then the Honourable Majosi, the question with regards to the vehicles. Currently our vehicle fleet, annual replacement of vehicles, the previous financial year we replaced 5,400 of these vehicles at the cost of 1.8 billion. Current financial year we have a budget of 1.542 billion rand. That will again follow the same principle of replacement and expansion in those prioritized areas. The question can come to light why a decreased amount from the previous financial year. To note, planning for the elections, the inauguration, vehicles were prioritized. Also, the public order policing capacity project that allowed for additional reprioritization and funding allocated by the National Treasury for this specific purpose. So the vehicle fleet is being maintained, sustained at an appropriate level with expansions where priorities then require those, and that's on a national basis, also including Honourable Member Peacock with reference to the Northern Cape Province model. Then with regards to the aircraft modernization, Honourable Terblanche, with regards to the aging fleet, that's it's a given fact. Our vehicles travel extensive mileage on an annual basis. Our aircraft is merely depleted currently. We need to replace them. There is currently from the Deputy National Commissioner of Policing a project plan over a medium to longer term period for capital investment. We will also then, as an opportunity cost element, access those funding that may come available from the auctioning of the old aircraft, so that we can then see how we can then access those funds to supplement that. Your time frames for delivery of these are in excess of 18 months, and also local content and National Treasury to be approached in order to see how we can then access funding for those aircraft that we require for policing. Let me just see, I think those were the ones. Thank you.
Thanks. Afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. With regard to the how part of the fighting crime, we have what we call the National Crime Combating Forum and the National Joints. We have prioritized the crimes as were outlined here, including we have a five-pillar approach that has been identified: crimes against women and children and gender-based violence. And also the second one is the trio crimes, murder including taxi violence. The fourth one is the proliferation of firearms, liquor, drugs, and gangsterism, illegal immigrants, stock theft, illicit economy, including your illegal mining and the contraband goods, the ferrous and non-ferrous metal, and the last one is corruption. So in terms of the how part, we identified stations which include the 30 high crime stations that were asked earlier. Unfortunately, I don't have the whole list. But in terms of, we categorize stations in terms of the priorities I mentioned. For example, crimes against women and children in Gauteng, for example, will prioritize your GP. Tembisa, Ivory Park, Atteridgeville, Katlehong Hill, Projobek Central, Dobsonville, Alexandra, Randfontein, and Moroka. And Western Cape, there's also a long list of stations. KZN, we also have stations. Eastern Cape, we have stations. And on the priority tour, on the trio crimes, we also have got quite a long list of stations. And in all these five priorities, we said we are going to establish teams that will focus on these specific crimes. On the proactive side, we have people that will do proactive, including your crime awareness. And in the reactive side, your FCS is the unit that deals with gender-based violence and sexual offences crimes. They will investigate those crimes. So it is a quite a intense program that we are going to implement as part of the how part of the fighting crime. It's quite a laborious program. Maybe at some point we can come and present it at this forum. There was a question on the issue of the firearms, the 800 firearms, and the reduction which we put it at 4 or 5%. For the last financial year, we did recover quite a number of firearms, that is 7,141. That is an unaudited figure, of which out of this figure we have got we have a figure of let me see, where is it? figure of 362 which were identified to be police firearms. What we don't know is out of the balance of the 6,000, still 7,000 plus, as to how many would have still been police firearms, because when we recover these firearms, some of them you can't identify. Even you ask them, you can't be able to identify whether is this a police firearm or not, because the serial numbers and all the markings have been erased. So those that we were able to identify is 362, and but in total we recovered 7,141. We do aim to, yes, reduce this number to a zero if we can, but we take note that it is, thus we wish to reduce it totally, but we take note that it might be impossible to reduce it to a zero at all. The question on private security companies, that we might look at them as a threat, do work with security companies. Our 10-1-1, they work with the security companies. There is a project which was started in Gauteng, where the National Commissioner had a partnership with security companies. The project is the eyes and ears of the police by the security companies. It's working quite well. We're looking at enrolling it to the rest of the country. In terms of CPFs, there was a question on CPFs. The CPFs, we do train them regularly, and of course, as and when there is new board members after their term, we do train those. In terms of motivation, it is unfortunate that CPF is a voluntary service which the members of the community volunteer to be part of the CPF. Currently, it is like that. There is no remuneration for members of the CPF. Thanks. With regard to the Central Firearm Registry, there was a turnaround strategy that was being implemented at the Firearm Central Register, and it was improving the service. But however, this current year, as we speak, the acting divisional commissioner that is there has been tasked once more that we need to relook as to what is it that we can do to improve the service at the CFR. So in this current financial year, we are going to engage in various projects with a view to improve the service at the CFR, with a view, of course, looking at modernization, as General Masiev said, looking at can we reach a stage where instead of filling many forms when you apply for a firearm, looking at if we can do things in an electronic way. The percentage of availability of police, there was a question around that. I do not have the right figure here, but we know that between 25% and 35% of the police are available on duty at any given time. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
No, thanks, sir.
Yes, Honorable Members, we have the whole day tomorrow and the morning of Thursday. The morning of Thursday, we'll come back to you on the caucus meetings. If there's no caucus meetings, we start at 9 o'clock. But we'll be continuing with SAPS for the whole day tomorrow. So if you are unhappy, if your program 2 and program 3, so if you're unhappy with your responses today. We'll do your follow-ups tomorrow. And what I'll do tomorrow is, before they even start their presentations, they must respond. I've seen that the Honorable Member Ter Blanche, there were certain parts of your questions they did not respond to. So they have to prepare tonight to see what we have asked, which was not satisfactorily responded to. They can then go through the archives and see if they can come with that information tomorrow. So we give them a chance to respond to us tomorrow morning. We meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at V454 at the old assembly building. And honorable members and commissioner, my apologies for this afternoon. I was just given my office. So you can imagine if someone is giving you your office and you've been waiting so long for your office, you just shout, glory, hallelujah, and you say, I'm taking this office now. So my apologies for having kept you waiting. I did not have an office until 5 to 2 today. And sorry, you have your offices now, members. It's not my responsibility, but it's a bit more convenient for you to do your work. So we see each other at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You will just negotiate amongst yourselves if you realize there are certain parts of the questions which were not responded to. You have tomorrow morning just an opportunity to do so. Thank you very much to the team. Very well done. See you tomorrow. Thank you.